नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवात्। श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि दोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव। भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो। नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम्। जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराड् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया। तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि। धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणां सतां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं। श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरसद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यदेत्रकृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तत्क्षणान्। निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृगद्रवसंयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः। सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा। यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमाजुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मैदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितितीर्षदां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारेर्मधुरीं न कणिकापि कापि कापि। नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः। वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशा यासां हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणानविन्दपरमाणवे नमः। पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम। मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः। श्रीमति राधिकायै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द। ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച ഇദം തു തേ ഗുഹ്യതമം പ്രവക്ഷ്യാമി അനസൂയവേ ജ്ഞാനം വിജ്ഞാനസഹിതം യജ്ഞാത്വാ മോക്ഷസേ അശുഭാത്. സോ യെസ്റ്റർഡേ വെൻ വി ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ദാറ്റ് the impact of this chapter on the serious student, what will happen to him. We also mentioned there that the out of the three states of existence, jagrat, swapnam, sushupti, the awakened state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state, in the deep sleep state, if you compare what is happening with the vacant state, you can see that deep sleep state is a very higher level in comparison with the vacant state. We have looked at various things yesterday. First thing is that all Mandukya Upanishad says all desires goes away in the deep sleep state, isn't it? Ya kanchana kamam kamayate. No desires in the deep sleep state, whereas vacant state is full of desires which we find it very hard to get rid of from inside, is it not? So first thing is freedom from desires, number one, in the deep sleep state. Secondly, if you look at the Krishna is saying there that all this attachment, what we are finding very difficult to break away in the vacant state, we are able to do it very easily in the deep sleep state, is it not? In the deep sleep state, they do not cause any problem. On our own, we say goodbye to everything and we go from here, from this world, from this body. Even the body we are going to shed for some period of time. Body we are going to give up for a period of time. Body, family, society, and all our other connections in this world, in one instance we are able to break away and go away from here into the deep sleep state, which shows that in the deep sleep state you are able to forget everything very easily compared to in the vacant state. And we also noticed many qualities in relationship with self-realization, they are present in the deep sleep, is it not? Krishna is saying to us in the third, fourth chapter, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shri Jaiva Shobhageja Pandita Samadarshina. That Samadarshitvam, equal vision, to see everything on equal level. In the vacant state, it is the most difficult thing to do. Is it not? We find it extremely difficult to find, see everything on an equal level. Everybody is different. And everyone's nature is different, everyone's bodily identity is different, so much differences, so much dvaidam in the vacant state. When it goes to deep sleep, no dvaidam, everything is finished. There is no man, there is no woman, there is no brahmana, there is no shudra, there is no sannyasi, there is no brahmachari, there is no grihastha, there is no engineer, there is no doctor, there is nothing. All designations, what we have taken, what is known as adhyasam, based on the body, in 1 second you are able to throw it away and go away from here. Just see the greatness of that, glory of that deep sleep state. That is, so many important things are happening in the deep sleep. You should not think about deep sleep like the way we think normally about the sleeping. That's not. You have to keep that aside and look at it from the spiritual point of view, what that deep sleep meant, it means. Above all these things, there is another thing which we didn't talk about it yesterday, which is the time and space. In the 8th chapter, Krishna is talking about time and space, to come out of time and space. We find that very difficult to come out of it in the vacant state. As soon as you go into deep sleep state, no time, no space either. So when you compare in this way between the deep sleep state and the vacant state, you can understand that what is going on in that deep sleep state is something very admirable, which you don't normally easily get to that state. We have to fight against everyone, everything in the vacant state to get anything out of it, is it not? Never we will say you are free from desires in the vacant state. Even if somebody tells you, oh, you know, no desires, still there will be some desire, mind will bring it back. The mind goes away, which we are trying to arrest. Whole 10th canto, Bhagavatam is Mano Nirodham. Isn't it? Atra sargo visargasya sthanam poshanam utaya manundaram ishanukatha nirodham. That nirodham is the one referring to 10th canto. Mano nirodham it is. So that mano nirodham for which you are studying Srimad Bhagavatam and everything, all that happens in the deep sleep state without any effort. Is it not? So just see, compare it like this. In this way you can see no time, no space, and no desires, no attachment. Prajahadi yada kaman, Krishna is saying there, and that kamam also doesn't exist there. Sarvan partha manogadan, alpanyev alpanatushta, prasadam abhigachadi. So, if you look in this way, everything comparing the deep sleep and the vacant state, you will see that deep sleep state is a far higher state compared to the vacant state. Compared to the vacant state. finally, Krishna also mentions in that, yajñātvā mokṣase aśubhād, Krishna says, last line in the first verse. If you follow this process, Krishna is saying, you will lose your head. That's how Krishna says. He says there, isn't it? That there is nothing to be, it is such a secret, this chapter, Rajaguhya Yogam. Krishna is saying, if you follow this, you will lose your head. What does it mean? What does that mean? It means that the false ego is keeping our head high in this world, isn't it? The false ego. I am this, I am that, I am somebody, and some feeling like that. But once that false ego goes away from inside, and it is as good as that you lost your head. It's a false ego that keeps this head up. Once the false ego goes away, the head also goes away along with that. So Krishna is saying here that that perfection is only possible to show us that there is a perfection in all of us. And that perfection is possible for everyone to reach at some stage. In order to show that, in the deep sleep state, all these examples are shown. All these things are spoken and comparing it to show to us that it is possible, perfection is possible, but not keeping the body and the mind with us. Not keeping this body and the mind with us. Keeping the body and the mind with us, it is not possible. Only in such a state, in the Upanishads, Yajñavalkya Maharshi says this to Gargi. He says to her, so many questions Gargi has asked to Yajñavalkya. Yajñavalkya has answered all the questions up to a stage, and then it is in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, you can see this. Afterwards he says to her, only problem Yajñavalkya Maharshi says to Gargi is that if this Brahmavidya or Rajavidya develops in a person, if one becomes, realizes this truth, he will lose his head. He will lose his head. In other words, your chapter is closed then. After that, you will destroy yourself. Practically, what will happen at that stage is that the ego inside has totally gone. Today, all the vyavaharam what we are doing in this world is based on our ego, isn't it? That ego is what is keeping this whole thing going, everything going. Yajñavalkya says to Gargi that once that ego has gone from inside, then there is no more desire to lord over the material nature, to lord it over the material nature, nor there is any desire because your identification with the body has gone. Identification with the body has gone. The result of that is, once there is no identification with the body, you have to see it like this. We, as soul, the first thing imposed on the soul by the nature is the body. The body, the nature has put this body on top of us. first level of adhyasam, they call it adhyasam, or adhyaropam, another word they use. In English you call it a superimposition. Body is superimposed on us. On top of the body, you are imposing other things. I am man, I am woman, I am American, I am European, I am Indian. These are all impositions on the body. First the body was imposed. On top of the body, you are imposing other things from then on. I am a Brahmana, I am a Shudra, I am a Kshatriya, or I am a Brahmachari, I am a Sannyasi, I am an engineer, I am a doctor. All sorts of impositions on the body after that. The first level of imposition, adhyaropam or adhyasam, is the body. Body itself is not us. And that itself is put on top of us by the nature. What nature has put on that, we are putting on other things on top of that. Is it not? We are putting on top of that identification, what the nature has given to us in the form of the body, we keep putting on top of it other things, other identities on top of that. So this identification, he says here, that when this realization comes, all of this identification goes away in one stroke. In one stroke, all identification goes away, and Yajnavalkya says to Gargi, this will make you perfect. Will make you perfect. In other words, it becomes Purnada. Purnatvam will come to them at that stage. In reality, we are all perfect. In reality, we are all perfect. But suppose, for example, in a dream, a person, he had a very powerful dream in the night. And in the morning when he woke up, he is in a great tension about the dream. What was the tension? Tension, he was very stressed out because he says in the morning, in my dream state, somebody has stolen my £1,000,000 what I had, cash. Somebody has stolen it in the dream, he says. So, he earned $1,000,000 in the dream and somebody stole it in the dream. Now, and he has woken up and he is crying about that. This is what we are doing now. We are also doing exactly the same thing. Thinking that we are going to get something someday when something is going to happen. Something is going to come. And thinking about this, that in future something is going to happen. And that is our situation. It's just like the dream thing. Exactly the same experience in the dream. In the dream state, the person is thinking he has earned something in the dream. A lot of money. And then he lost it. Somebody took it away from him. After he got up in the morning, he's crying about it. What he lost. What he has earned and what he lost. He's crying about it. Similarly, we also, in this vacant state, sitting here, thinking that something is going to happen. Because we have been told so many things after death, so many things will happen. And based on that, we have created a dream within ourselves. And in that dream, we are living now. Nothing is going to happen. That is what Krishna is making very clear in the second chapter itself. If you have misunderstood many things, Krishna is saying that if it has to happen, it has to happen now. When it is, when you read, or when you think about that. So, remember that story in the Yoga Vasishtam? I mentioned this before also, about about the donkey story. The dobi, washerman, I don't know whether you will all get it, but I'll say this, repeat the story again. That the washerman had a dobi had a donkey. So this donkey worked for this washerman for many, many years, carrying all the clothes to the river and bringing it back from the river. That was its job. And washerman keeps the dobi keeps this donkey, because it doesn't cost anything. It will eat some grass or some paper and drink the water from the river. You don't have to do anything. You just use the donkey and keep it for yourself and it will do the work. So when it became very old, Vasishtam says like this, Rechaka Jadhara Gardhavaha. Jarada Gardhava means very old. The donkey has become very, very old. When the donkey became very old, The washerman was beating the donkey because what donkey couldn't do any more work. It was gone so old. So washerman kept beating the donkey. But finally washerman gave it up. He thought, it's no point in keeping this donkey. He can't do any more any work. What's the point in keeping him? So in the same house of this washerman, Rajaga they call them, in the same house of the washerman, there was a dog. And the dog and the donkey, they are having a samvadam. Like we have in the Bhagavatam, samvadam, isn't it? Krishna Uddhava samvadam. Narada Yudhishthira samvadam. And similarly, Shuga Parikshit samvadam. It is called samvadam. Samvadam is the word they use in the Shastram. Shuga Parikshit samvadam, Brahma Narada samvadam. Bhagavatam is full of samvadam, isn't it? Between conversation between two people. So similarly here, it is a donkey-dog samvadam is going on between the two. The dog is watching this, that this donkey, he has become useless as far as the work is concerned. He can't do any work anymore. And one day the dog, and he comes and stays in the house still, as though he belongs to the house. So the dog, out of compassion, asked this question to the donkey, why do you hang around here? Why don't you go? You can get food elsewhere. You are only eating some grass anyway. And you are going to drink the water from the river. And this family is not going to give you anything anymore. They don't need you. Why should they give you any more, anything? So dog is asking this question to the donkey. Donkey is saying to the dog, No, it's not like that, he says. There is a reason why I'm staying here. So the dog asked the donkey, what is it? That what is keeping you staying here, he said. So the donkey says to the dog, this washerman Dobi has a daughter. And as usual in them days, there were a lot of marriage proposals come for this daughter. So every time a proposal comes, and the bridegroom's parents or relations, they come to make the discussions and all sorts of negotiations, everything. And they go away. And then the girl says, I don't want to marry him. So like this, she has rejected proposal after proposal. So many proposals she has rejected. So one day, this Dobi got so angry with her. She says to her that I'm struggling so hard to get all these men to come and to come to some agreement and get you married quickly from here. But you're not agreeing for anything. If it is like this, if you're not, if nobody suits you, then I'm going to get you married to that donkey, he said. He says to her in an angry mood. The donkey has heard that. So donkey is thinking that one day I'm going to get her married to me. So what will happen then? The Dobi becomes his father-in-law, isn't it? So we'll be all together as a family, happily. It is the same situation we are in today. There's not much difference. Somebody is telling us something is going to happen after death, and it's going to happen sometime somewhere else, which we don't even know where it is. And sitting here, we are thinking all this is going to happen. And like that donkey, we are staying in this world. Thinking that, that's why it's called Jarada Gardabaha. It's a story in the Yoga Vasishtam. Vasishtha Maharshi talking about this. Spiritual life is not like that. Spiritual life is real. It is in the, if you take Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, spiritual life is now here, not later. Anything what will happen after that is not in your control. That may or may not happen. What will happen, nobody knows about it. We haven't gone and seen everything. But here Krishna is saying to us, right here now, while here in this body, and here is an opportunity. Krishna calls it as the Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamapa Devaha. In the Bhagavatam you will see this. Brahmavaloka Dishana has been given to us. Brahmavaloka Dishana means that the ability to realize the truth right now in this body is an opportunity given to us. Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamapa Devaha, he says in the Bhagavatam. So similarly, these are expectations. We create a lot of expectations and live in that dream all the time, isn't it? Yajamana duhitram paranaya kamshi. That is the words Vasishtha uses there in the Vasishtam. So Similarly, keeping this body and the mind with us, keeping the body and mind with us, it is not going to happen any time in the future from this world, the so-called happiness what you are looking for, or perfection what you are looking for. That has to be very clear. We have to accept that. There is no other choice there in this. In other words, keeping this body and the mind with us, and this in this world, to expect some happiness from here, and thinking that one day everything is going to be happy, that's not going to happen. That's the first and important thing to realize. Because otherwise all these chapters won't make any sense. We are under the impression that Krishna, that is what Krishna wants to make it very clear to us, that keeping this body and the mind, from this world if you are expecting any happiness, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And Krishna says here, if you decide yourself, you can go from this world fully free, totally free from here. And our problem is that here, some people, even if you open, suppose somebody has been put into a prison, and if you open the prison door and tell him to go, they can't go out. They want to stay in the prison. That's our nature. It's like that. All our attachment and all our connections with this world is so strong that even if they let you go, they say, no, I'm okay here. Remember that story of Indra coming down and become a pig in the sewer in Vrindavan or somewhere. Narada Maharshi meets him and says to him, you are Indra, go back to... He says, no, I'm happy here. That situation. So there's a story about that. One person was in the prison for a long time, for a very long time. And he got so used to the prison environment that he found it very difficult to adjust with the world. And he started telling the police, can you put me back into the prison? I was better off there in the prison. He got this idea into his mind. So because he got so used to the prison, in the prison you have these windows, and the bar, isn't it? In the window, the bar, iron bars are there. So he is normally used to looking through that iron bar outside to the world. When they let him out, he found it very inconvenient. So what did he do? Because there was no bar anymore to look through, he put his fingers like this and started looking through this. He needs the bar, otherwise he can't look at the world. That is conditioning. That's what's called conditioning. We are all in it together, as they say. All the same thing happens to all of us. That we need this in the front to look through the... Because there was no bar, he puts his fingers on. So that he gets the impression, at least there is a bar there to look through. So this is the nature of the conditioned soul. Krishna is saying, this Rajavidya Rajaguhya Yogam chapter is for releasing us from this conditioning. In this situation, what we are in today, we are never going to achieve that fulfillment. We are never going to achieve that in this situation like we are today. We are never going to achieve that fulfillment. All of us are thinking, let the life go on like this. Along with that, we'll do some spiritual life also. And one day, quietly, we'll move from this to the other. Whenever that happens. We are not in a rush for that. Krishna is saying here, it is not so. It's not so. He's saying here that if fulfillment will never happen in this present state where we are now, it's not going to happen. This realization, when it comes strongly to a person, that is called vairagyam. That is vairagyam. Vairagyam does not mean that you are wearing saffron or shave your head or keep a tulsi beads or rudraksham on your neck and saying that I have renounced everything. That is all at different times it has come in the period of history. Vairagyam has come. Vairagyam is inside. If you read that book, Bhartrahari's Vairagya Shatakam, the famous books on vairagyam, you'll notice what is vairagyam means. So here, what is that causing us to stick to this world so strongly? What is that causing us to stick to this world strongly? And not knowing that very thing, what is causing us to stick to this world, which means this body and this mind, we are not conscious that will leave us one day. without our knowledge, that alone will. So, knowing that imperfection in the body and the mind, that discrimination, that ability to know that, that this imperfection in the body and the mind, that is called vairagyam. Vairagyam is that. Knowing that imperfection in the body and the mind, what is that imperfection? That one day without asking us, they will leave us and go. The body will leave us and go. The mind will leave us and go. Realizing that, that is called vairagyam. That is called vairagyam is not the dress that I have taken sannyasam, so I am renounced everything. No. This is the Shastram says very clearly what vairagyam means, isn't it? So if you look with proper understanding, renunciation, detachment in this world, you will know that there is nothing to be achieved in this world. There is no achievement here. There is nothing going to be perfect here either. And only if you know these things, you will be willing to give up your false ego. Only when you become conscious of this, there is nothing to be achieved here, and there is nothing is going to be perfect here. And that full conviction inside, when one comes to that realization, then only it is possible that you will be willing to give up that false ego from inside. False ego from inside. In whichever way you think about it, our false ego has not much of a meaning, isn't it? It hasn't got much of a meaning. And we are not anybody here. Somehow, due to our karmam, we had been given this body by the nature and a mind to finish up all the karma vasanas inside. That's why we have been put into this. But due to our adhyasam, adhyaropam with the body and the mind, and also due to the identification with the body, and due to our various vasanas, ahankaram builds up inside. That's why it's important to study about this false ego. Very important thing. And Krishna has given us such a example of this sushupti state and vacant state to prove it to us that in reality every day that when ahankaram goes away from inside, when false ego leaves us, you experience your perfection. Perfection you experience in that sushupti state. So, and also, no matter anybody who thinks themselves that they are very big and important in this world, as soon as you go into deep sleep state, they are all same. Nobody is any big, nobody is small there. No rich man, no poor man. No king, no pauper. No president, no prime minister. Nothing there in that state. Once you go into that deep sleep state, that equality, what you experience in that deep sleep state, is what Krishna calls it as samatvam. Samatvam, that samatvam, yoga muchyade, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. You will see in the 6th chapter, Krishna says samatvam yoga muchyade, that samatvam, to come inside and see that everything is equal, that samatvam experiencing inside is yoga. That is how Krishna calls yoga system. Samatvam yoga muchyade, Krishna says. That samatvam is not possible on the bodily level. It is not possible on a level of the body. Only when you move away from the platform of the body, when you go inwards and you come to that experience in the deep sleep state, when you see that everything is equal, which we discussed yesterday also, leveler it's called. It makes everyone equal, isn't it? Deep sleep state puts everyone on an equal level. That leveler, that's what the deep sleep is doing. That state, when you are in that state, that is samatvam, equal. Equal equality in everything. Samadarshinam. Like Krishna told Uddhava also, isn't it? Tundu sarvam pariteja sneham svajane bandushu mayavesha mana samyak samadrik. That's samatvam. Samatvam means all equal. Samadrik. Krishna says, realize that now in the vacant state. That's samadrik. Nobody is big, nobody is small here. And nobody has anything to do here. Nobody has anything to achieve here. In reality, that is the truth. So that's what Krishna is saying there. So all of that is only due to, why do we feel somebody is big and somebody is small? Because of the ahankaram inside. False ego. False ego makes us think somebody is important. There is no guru, there is no disciple in the deep sleep state. is there. There is no guru, there is no disciple. Nothing. Everything equal. Everything on equal level. So, samatvam yogamuchyade, Krishna is saying there. We have to see things from a spiritual point of view, not from a bodily level. Bodily level, if you look, all these things exist. President exists, Prime Minister exists, the Brahmana exists, President exists, Prime Minister exists, rich man exists, poor man exists, everything exists. In deep sleep state, nothing exists. Everything goes away. Samatvam yogamuchyade. So, another dimension to that is, no matter who it is, as long as there is the body and the mind, as long as you have a body and the mind, all he can do that he can act in the world as though he is perfect. He can act only, but he is not perfect. That's the first thing. You may act, some people are good at it, isn't it? Acting that everything is perfect, what they are doing. So that nature, that everything is perfect, that's nonsense. It has no meaning because you have got a body which is not perfect, you've got a mind which is not perfect, and these two imperfections you are carrying with you, and still you are thinking, that is Maya. To think that I am doing something very perfect, that itself is Maya. So, when we realize this, whenever we realize this situation with this body and the mind, and completely surrenders to Krishna, it is all that time, only then, this verse, the chapter can be experienced, this ninth chapter. So that is a precondition for that. That only when we realize all these things what we have spoken so far from this verse, idam tume guhyadamam pravakshyami anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahidam yajnatva mokshase ashubhad. Krishna is saying that chapter is only possible to experience it only when this ahankaram goes away from inside. Complete ahankarakshayam. They call it as ahankarakshayam, vasanakshayam. These are different words used in the Shastra. So, here you can see. So, in other words, only in that situation it is possible to experience this knowledge of the Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Yogam. I don't need anything from this world. In fact, the basic necessities everybody needs. Basic necessities. What is that? like everyone else, we are also in this world. We also have to eat. We also have to sleep. And we also need a place to sleep. And and we need a place to live. That's all. There's nothing more than that in this world. You need to. Really need to. So, and in that process, vyavaharam will come in life. There will be vyavaharam in this world. But so, vyavaharam, because when you want to eat and sleep and have a place to stay, that means itself is expecting some vyavaharam is bound to happen with that. But even during that vyavaharam stage, also, Krishna is saying here, that whatever that is necessary, you have to do that. But at the same time, wherever Krishna has put us in, whatever situation Krishna has put us in this world, and whatever work has been given to me, accordingly certain things you have to do in this world. That's all, nothing more than that. So whatever that is required to keep those things going, that has to be done, nothing more than that. But beyond than that, inside us, all of us, there is a sushma buddhi. On a very subtle level, there is a very subtle intelligence. It says to us that beyond than that, there is nothing else to be done in this world. Nothing else to be done in this world. That's a gross misunderstanding. People are thinking, because that illusion is so powerful, makes us think we have so much responsibility to so many people in this world, to family, to the country, and to so many different organizations, all that, commitments, and feeling that identification with all of that. Krishna is saying that is on a level of illusion. It has nothing to do with the reality. As far as reality is concerned, Krishna says, as long as you have a gross body, you need some food. pranan, to, in order to keep the pranan moving in the body. And because it's a demand from the body, it has to be given. Eating and sleeping is concerned, and a place to keep this body rest somewhere. That's the basic requirements. So, at any point, you have to also have to remember that these things, what you have got with us, which you are finding it difficult to throw away, mind, the body, the mind, and the facilities in this world, at any moment they can leave and go. They can leave and go. So, but with proper knowledge of the self from this ninth chapter, Krishna is saying such a person will never be frightened of that, losing these things, particularly the body, the mind, the facilities in this world and things like that, because he knows very well that the body and the mind is going to go one day. He has come to terms with it inside. Now, normally, when we say these things, we will understand it on an emotional level. Is it not? Emotional level, everybody understands these things. We will become very emotional. Oh, we are going to die one day. We are going to lose this body one day, the mind one day, and all our connection with the world also. We are going to lose one day. On an emotional level, we will understand this, but not through thoughts. We won't think about it and realize it in that way. On an emotional level, you will accept it, but not on a through the thought process. So, emotionally, everybody will say the same thing. They'll also, everybody says this, isn't it? That, oh, one day anyway, we are going to leave this world, one day we are going to go. Especially when somebody dies, we go for the funeral. We'll all say the same thing. Oh, one day we are going to go anyway. What is there now? What's there to feel bad about it? This person died and we are all going to go one day. We'll talk about it on an emotional level. But we have never subjected that to our thoughts properly. To our thoughts properly. So, that, how do you know that? Because while these thoughts are coming, even at the time of leaving the body, on the deathbed, while we are going to leave the body, you will see sometimes people will be thinking about certain silly things in this world. Oh, I have not sorted this out, I have not sorted. Person is on his way out and he is still thinking, I have not sorted something here in my family matters. There is something, a few things are to be still sorted out. Or so many things. My daughter has to be married and that is not done. Or son has not been fixed properly and settled in his life. People talk all these kind of things, isn't it? First, he's on his way out. And he probably has got few hours to leave the world. And he's still thinking that I got all these things to sort it out here. So that is the way Krishna is saying. So that, because it is like that, that's why Shastram says to us, you require vijaram. Vijaram is necessary because of this. This is on an emotional level we are saying these things. Because it's emotional level, it's not happening anything inside. Because it's gone, emotion has gone, that's also gone. Whereas if it was done through proper vijaram, vijaram, Brahma vijaram in other words, this is what vijaram in Jnanamargam is all this. That proper analysis of these things in your own daily thought process and accepting that insight, not through mind and intelligence, but in realization. You have to accept that. Only then all this will be effective. This chapter will be effective. So, and only if you do that, that will come for your shelter. That will come for your shelter. And whatever that comes through emotion, that will not be yours. Like the emotion, it will come, and when the emotion goes, it goes away. Through emotions, you can't accept anything in this world. You have to accept it through thought power, through chinda, through the thought process. You have to accept it, not through the emotions. Emotions, if you accept it, when the emotions goes, that effect of that emotions also will go along with it. Because it's emotional. It's not based on the vijaram. If it is based on the vicharam, it will stay. Vicharam, it will stay. So, when you can see emotional level, that everybody knows that Krishna is the only truth. We know that. On an emotional level, we will say like this, isn't it? And we will say like that, say that to others also. But through the thought process, vicharam, when you know that I have nothing to achieve in this world, I have nothing to become in this world, and when you are in that state, then only then you will start realizing your grip on that false ego will start slowly fading away. Through vicharam, when it happens, what will happen is our subtle effect of the false ego, which is in every one of us, ahankaram. We have a strong grip on that false ego, which we are finding it very difficult to release. It's so strong, the grip on the false ego. If it happens through vicharam, what will happen is, the false ego, the grip, it will start loosening up. It will start loosening up. So little by little, through this vicharam process, dhamavicharam, atmavicharam in other words, little by little, this pride what we have inside, in our grip over this ahankaram, I am, that ahankaram, when we are ready to erase that, which means you are erasing your personality. That's a personality. What is this personality we talk about? Our false ego. That's our personality, isn't it? From spiritual understanding, personality does not exist. Personality is a false thing, like the false ego. And in the modern world, personality, we say, is a great personality, we say. What's great personality about? What is the greatness of the personality? Personality is false ego. That is what is the personality means. So personality has to be erased out from it. Personality is ahankaram. When personality gets wiped out, it is called ahankara kshayam, the weakening of that personality inside. So, when we are ready to erase our personality, you are no more fascinated by the personality, you have to understand this very clearly inside, that when you are no more fascinated by the personality development, then you will understand Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Yogam. On the other hand, like the way they do now, Bhagavad Gita for personality development, whoever comes like that, with that understanding to Bhagavad Gita, you cannot tell Bhagavad Gita to them. It is no point in speaking Bhagavad Gita to them, who has come to develop personality development with Bhagavad Gita. Imagine the avidya behind that, ajnanam in there. So as long as we have, so when we are ready to wipe this personality off from inside, knowing very well that there is nothing to be done here, all this ahankaram is kicking around, so many different false egos are kicking around here in this world, claiming this or that, somebody is big, somebody is small, somebody thinks that they have to change the whole world, nothing to be changed here, the world will go on its own way whether you like it or not. You are just a visitor here, you have come for a few years and you are gone. And if you take all the responsibility on your shoulders thinking that I have to sort this place out, that's your false ego. And you will not understand what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita then. We have to come out of all this foolish understanding. There's nothing to be done here. Krishna has not wanted us to change the world or anything. Krishna says, I have tried to change this world doesn't change. Krishna is saying this to Uddhava. He says, when I leave this place and go, he says, the Kali will come and he'll take over. That is why Krishna had no problem while leaving. He said, these Yadavas who are my family members, they are going to create trouble here. Let me finish them up also and I'm going, he said. So nature, material nature, you can't change it. You can't control it and change it. It's our illusion thinking that if we do this and, Krishna has sent me here with a mission, man with a mission. Somebody says they got a mission within the mission. The Son of the Man is saying like that. He has got, I have a mission within the mission. He has got, some people are got like that. They've got so many missions. Agenda they call it, isn't it? Agenda. Now he's got an agenda, they say. What agenda can you do here in this world? So people come with all missions and agendas and everything. And eventually Bhumidevi is looking at them and smiling. Then, have you finished your agenda? She is asking every one of us when we go from here. That's what she has got to say. She is not asking ordinary people like us. She has asked this to Prithu Maharaj. You know, in the Bhagavatam Bhumigita, if you read, you will see, she is asking to people like Prithu Maharaj, Parashuram, Vishwamitra and others. People like that. You also had big agenda in you, isn't it, when you came here. Where is it all now? So that's the same thing. Krishna is saying, unless we realize these things, and we completely surrender to Krishna. I have no agenda here. Whatever you doing it, that's my what I like. That's all. Ramana Maharshi used to say, Unishtam, Enishtam. Whatever you like it, that's mine, what I like. You have to become like that. There is no other way. Whatever you like it, that's what I like. I don't have any choice of my own. That situation. That is important, because otherwise where is the surrender? Surrender will never happen. We will have our agenda, we'll think that Krishna has sent me here to send place, correct these places or sort the place out. All these illusions will come in the head. So, therefore, Krishna is saying, this Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Yogam, you will only experience it when you come to this understanding, the freedom from that false ego inside first. Freedom from the false ego inside. So, just like Krishna gives you example here, that when you are ready to give up your personality, recognize that it is a flimsy and an illusory thing, this personality. It's a flimsy thing. It's an illusory thing. And knowing very well that I am nothing. I am nothing. Not through just words, but through proper thoughts. You have come to that understanding. And fully knowing that, and then the experience will be an amazing experience, Krishna says. That experience will be very amazing, because sometimes you can see in the sea, when the waves come, a lot of bubbles come from the waves, isn't it? And the bubbles dance for a while and then gone. We are like those bubbles here. We have come in the earth. We have come to the earth. A lot of bubbles have come out in so many places, in so many forms. And these bubbles will go also, disappear also one day. And nobody is going to think about it anymore, about anybody after that. Is it not? Big people have come and gone here. Who is going to bother about them anymore? You can see in your own life, if you look back into history, you will see great historic personalities. They all wanted to control here. Napoleon and so many big people, isn't it? Where are they now? Prabhupada used to say, when he was traveling in France, some devotees were trying to show him the castles what Napoleon was in his time controlling, and he was the big leader there. Prabhupada says, all the castles are lying there, where is Napoleon, he said. So this is the truth, is it not? That we have nothing here, we are just a short period of time here, in a particular body here, and then we feel the necessity to identify with the body and try to lord it over the nature here. So, as just like that, similarly, our ahankaram, false ego, is not a reality. It's not a real thing. It's a false thing, it is. And when we come to know that moment immediately, tat sarvam abhavad, Shruti says this. At that moment, everything happens. And egalpa pratyasaram prapanchopashamam shantam shivam. That egalpa pratyasaram, that oneness of the reality becomes clear to us. And that means everything gets condensed and you get to know that this reality, this world itself is not real. The world itself is not real. That knowledge itself is a big step in spiritual life. To know that the world itself is not real. World itself is not real. Because the understanding about this world, because we have not understood the world properly, we are thinking that world is real. In fact, the soul is real, the world is not real. It's the other way. When we come here, first thing, what do we think? The world is permanent. I am temporary here. This is how we normally think about it, is it not? But when you come to know, I am the permanent, the world is not temporary, that is proper. World will go one day in its own, continuously changing. Where is the question of any reality in this world? So there Krishna is saying that once this reality is understood, then it is possible that you have to prepare yourself for this change. For this change. Change is, Krishna is talking about for this self-realization. You have to prepare yourself for that. Anybody can experience that, Krishna's point. And no matter which category you belong to, whether you are a child, in whichever state you are in this life, whether you are a child or an old person, whether you are a rich person or a poor person, whether you are a Brahmana or a Chandala, or you are a Hindu or a Muslim, or whether you are Indian or an American, European or an African, it doesn't matter. There is only one question Krishna is asking there is there America in your deep sleep? Is there India in your deep sleep? Is there a Brahmana in your deep sleep? Is there a Chandala in the deep sleep? Is there a child in the deep sleep? Is there an old person, old man or woman in the deep sleep state? Because why is it like that? What is there in that deep sleep state? That is the truth. Sushuptam is called as Sushuptam. That Sushupti state is such an important state, we don't give any attention to that. And that is very sad. That is the sad side of it. We have become so absorbed in this vacant state, thinking that this is the perfection. Instead, from the spiritually, if you come to it and start seeing things properly, you will know that it is the Sushupti state is a very elevated state compared to the vacant state. Is it not? That Sushupti state is teaching us. And Krishna is saying here, that is the state where you get to know that Vastu. Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayo Enmoolanam. That Vastavamatra Vastu. That Vastu is easily known to us in that deep sleep state. So, and there you don't require any qualifications in the deep sleep state to know the Vastu. Whereas in the vacant state, you need all the qualifications. Freedom from time and space, freedom from the desires, freedom from all kinds of hankering and lamentation, freedom from attachment and aversion. All these are requirements in the vacant state to know the truth. Whereas in the deep sleep state, no qualification is required to know the truth. The truth you are experiencing yourself there directly in the deep sleep state. So that is why we have to first throw away all these qualifications, what we're talking about. Because once we come to spiritual life, adhyalpam, first thing required is a certain discipline, atakam. In other words, it's a certain control of oneself and sharanagati, that surrendering nature. These two things you are given importance. First, a self-discipline in life, and secondly, a surrendered nature. You will see this in all spiritually realized personalities, advanced people. A discipline in life and a certain surrender in life. Surrender and discipline, both. Discipline to show that they have got their control over the mind and the body. Sharanagati, because they have the realization that the body and the mind is not real. Therefore, that surrender in them. Because every object in this world, you have to connect with that object through false ego. Through the false ego we connect. So, just like in English they say, oh, there is one more feather in your cap. They say like that, isn't it? It's another feather in his cap. So, if you have... So similarly, we are doing everything in this world, and at the same time, you are trying to study Vedantam also. This is Vedantam. Vedantam is talking about all these things. Preparing for Vedantam is a very interesting thing. In such a nice and systematic way, lot of truth is spoken to us. In all the Vedanta Grandham, you will see this. Prakarna Grandham, if you study like Viveka Chudamani, Tathabodham, and Upadesha Sahasri, and so many other books, if you study, you will see Vedantam prepares us nicely for a spiritual, proper spiritual life. Proper spiritual life. So, if you study all these things, but at the same time, if there is no discipline inside, and there is no surrender inside, there is no sharanagati and there is no discipline in the body and the mind, then if you study these books for collecting that knowledge from the books, that will not help. You will not give any satisfaction to him. Because he'll know everything, but at the same time, what has happened, he didn't get what he needs to get. That will never come. That perfection will never come to him. It's not possible. So these things go side by side. On the one hand, when you are hearing all these interesting books, like, as I mentioned before, Kathopanishad, Kenopanishad, all the famous Upanishads, 10 major Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhavapadesham, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, and Vedanta Sutram, and all other books, if you keep on hearing all that, it will have a profound impact inside us. But that impact will only stay if there is that discipline in life and that surrender in life. These, you may not be 100% surrendered, but that surrendering nature must be there in a person, Sharanagati. Always to surrender to the truth. The truth is what? What is the truth? Truth is, personality is a false thing. It's ahankaram inside, this personality. It has to be quietly taken out from inside. Ahankarakshayam or vasanakshayam it's called. So this is a continuous process that goes on, and at the same time is with this realization only it will happen. So it will happen. So therefore, first thing we have to ask is to question this ahankaram, false ego inside, of its existence inside. Ahankaram does not mean only the pride. If you remember, in the 13th chapter, Krishna talks about it, is it not? Abhaya satta samshuddhi jnana yoga vavastiti dhanam damascha yajnascha swadhyaya stapa arjavam ahimsa satyam akrotham tyaga shandir apaishanam daya bhudeshu aloluptam mardavam hri achapalam tejakshama dridir shaujam nadroho adhimanidaha. Adhimanida. Adhimanida is that false pride. Devi iga sambadam devi abhijadasya bharata. Krishna is saying, one who is in the spiritual life, you will notice these qualities. Beginning with abhaya sattva samshuddhi. Abhayam sattva samshuddhi, jnana yoga vavastiti, dhanam damascha yajnascha swadhyayam tapasya arjavam. A lot of qualities Krishna has listed in the Bhagavad Gita. Among those qualities, you will see atimanita, one quality mentioned. Atimanita, to think that I am nothing here. What is my position here? I have just been thrown here into this place. Material nature has put a body on top of me. On top of that, I have put on so many other designations and I have become victimized by all these things. To know very well that ahankaram, that personality, I have no personality. Personality is a false thing. It doesn't exist. So personality, wiping out that personality, that is what Krishna is saying here, that when he start questioning about that personality, when he start questioning about that personality, which is ahankaram. Ahankaram is that personality. Just like we mentioned yesterday, you have to question the virus itself that has got into the computer, isn't it? It is like a virus inside. It's constantly eating us out from inside. Won't allow anything to happen. Won't allow anything to operate. Just like when you hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you feel, yes, Krishna is speaking the truth. But as soon as you walk out, everything changed. Oh, that you can say all that things, but it's not practical. Who is saying this from inside? Who is creating this confusion inside? When you hear everything, yes, it's all good. Correct. When you leave outside, as soon as somebody is from inside, say, oh, no, that's all not practical. I have to live in this world. You make it completely in a different level, you start thinking totally opposite. Why? Because this virus inside. This virus is inside ahankaram. He will teach you that at that time. So Krishna says, that questioning that virus, that is this Rajaguhya Vidya. This Rajavidya is questioning that virus. Questioning your false ego. Questioning your ahankaram inside. That is what it is. So this inquiring after this false ego, and finding out where it's coming from, that is what it is called. So, what is the way to know about that? Just like when the river flows and joins the ocean, at that time, the river loses its identity. It becomes one with the ocean. In the same way, we are thinking at the moment, I have to become something in this world. I have so many plans in my head. Some people have so many ideas in their head, is it not? So, business people will have a lot of desires to make a lot of money, big business empires to build up, or celebrities have their plans to become rich or to become famous in this world. And even gurus also have big different desires in them to make a lot of disciples and start a lot of temples and ashrams and bring everybody in and change them all. All these are to become something tomorrow. Isn't plans going on? So this thought always inside, I have to become something tomorrow. Instead, I have come to the spiritual life to realize the truth. What is the truth behind all these things? Only then that ahankaram, in other words, is a block. Ahankaram will block everything. Ahankaram will create all these kind of feelings. Instead, if you come to the spiritual life with the understanding, I want to know the truth. I want to get to know the truth. And for this, I'm willing to sacrifice anything, including me, my own ego. I'm willing to give up. And provided I want this realization now. Krishna is saying here that you can see that even in our worldly life, material life also, wherever you look, you will see the all distress, what we are experiencing here, the root cause of all that is this ahankaram. Root cause of all this is ahankaram. And every conflict, where did they come from? Where is the conflict coming? Conflict is coming within me, isn't it? I have got the conflict. And because I have done something, it has come like this. And I will not agree with this. I will do something to correct this. I will make the decision. It is from this that this I in everything, from there dukkham or distress is coming to us. So this identification with I, with that false ego, is called in the Shastram Mula Avidya. Mula Avidya means the very root ignorance, root of all the ignorance. When we are willing to give up that root of ignorance, everything, and for him, Krishna is saying here, such a person will easily get released from this inauspicious state, situation where we are now. That's what in that verse Krishna is saying. Yajnatva jnanam vijnana sahitam yajnatva mokshase ashubhad, says there, isn't it, in that first verse. Idam tume guhyadamam pravakshyami anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yal yatva mokshase ashubhad. That is that verse. So release from this state, mula avidya, fundamental ignorance it's called. Mula avidya means fundamental ignorance. There is a lot of different ignorances in us, but there is a root ignorance. What is that? This ahankara. That is, therefore it is called mula avidya. Mula avidya, that is. Mula avidya means the root behind everything. It is on that root the tree has grown. The tree of ahankaram has grown. And then it has grown, not only grown, it has got a branches and under leaves and the twigs, and it has grown like a huge tree. This ahankaram inside us, all of us. This ahankaram, but the root of that is this ahankaram. What is Krishna calls it as? That the yajnatva mokshase ashubhad. That ashubhad refers to that ahankaram inside. And that is that personality in another form. If you refer to, it is the personality inside us. So when the personality we are willing to give up, when we are willing to sacrifice this false ego inside us, ahankaram, Krishna is saying that this knowledge will have its effect on that person, otherwise not. So Krishna has qualified his statement, this knowledge is extremely confidential. It will remain as confidential so long as this ahankaram is inside. Now look at the next verse, what Krishna says about that. രാജവിദ്യാരാജഗുഹ്യം പവിത്രം ഇദമുത്തമം പ്രത്യക്ഷവഗമം ധർമ്മ്യം സുസുഖം കർത്തുമവ്യയം രാജവിദ്യാരാജഗുഹ്യം പവിത്രം ഇദമുത്തമം പ്രത്യക്ഷവഗമം ധർമ്മ്യം സുസുഖം കർത്തുമവ്യയം. രാജവിദ്യ രാജഗുഹ്യം, Krishna is saying രാജവിദ്യ is രാജഗുഹ്യം, and പവിത്രം, it is the most pure thing, this രാജവിദ്യ. ഇദം ഉത്തമം and not means it is also highly transcendental, it's not to be experienced by the mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence is no use here, that's why it's called ഉത്തമം. പവിത്രം ഇദം ഉത്തമം, anything to be touched by mind and intelligence is considered to be impure. Anything to be touched by mind and intelligence is considered to be impure. That's why this Krishna is saying here, pavitram, it's so pure, idam uttamam, and it is transcendental to mind, and that means mind and intelligence of no use here in this chapter. And pratyaksham avagamam dharmyam susugham kartum avyayam. The knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization. Direct perception of the self by realization. It is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. It's everlasting and it is joyfully performed, says Krishna is saying. It's joyfully performed. These words, like the first words, requires a lot of analysis. Like you have seen in the first verse, how much Krishna has packed into that one, four lines, which we have discussed now last two, three classes, is it not? So you can see in first Krishna, Shri Bhagavan Vaja, Krishna is saying, ഇതം തുമേ ഗുഹ്യതമം പ്രവക്ഷ്യാമി അനസൂയവേ ജ്ഞാനം വിജ്ഞാനസഹിതം യജ്ഞാത്വാ മോക്ഷസേ അശുഭാത്. ഹി ലെഫ്റ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ദേർ. നൗ ഹി സേയിങ് ദിസ് രാജവിദ്യ ഈസ് രാജഗുഹ്യം ആൻഡ് പവിത്രം ഇതം ഉത്തമം പ്രത്യക്ഷം അവഗമം ധർമ്മ്യം സുസുഖം കർത്തും അവ്യയം. സോ മെനി തിങ്സ് ഹി സേയിങ് അബൌട്ട് ദിസ് രാജവിദ്യ. സോ ലെറ്റ് എസ് ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഹിയർ. സോ in this verse, after saying all these things, Krishna is giving us some confidence. He's giving us some confidence. What is this vidya? He says, he calls it as Rajavidya. Isn't it? Rajavidya. We have seen in the first class, we have seen why it is called Rajavidya. Is it not? Because all other vidya is dependent on this vidya. If this vidya is not there, other vidyas have no existence. Do you understand that? That this Rajavidya, without Rajavidya or Brahmavidya, in other words, it is Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya, Sarvavidya, Pratishtham, it says. All other vidya is based on this Brahmavidya. Because there is Brahmavidya, knowledge of Brahma, Brahmam inside us. Therefore, we are able to develop so many other vidyas. But the fundamental, the very basic of all these things is Brahmavidya, knowledge of the self. Because the self is there, all the other things we are doing here, isn't it? We developed all other knowledge of the world, knowledge of other astronomy, astrology, medicine, engineering, accountancy, whatever branch you take, material knowledge or spiritual knowledge, anything doesn't matter. Everything has been developed because of Brahmavidya inside. We have the Brahman present inside, Krishna's presence inside. So therefore, this knowledge related to this Brahman is more important. Brahmavidya means Rajavidya. Is more important than all other knowledge in this world, Krishna is saying that. Therefore it is called Rajavidya. On one level, because of this Vidya, Brahmavidya inside, all other knowledge exists in this world. Suppose you have no presence of Brahman inside, Krishna is not present there, and you have no awareness, anything, where is the other knowledge existing then? Other knowledges cannot, branches cannot exist, can they? So it's based on that, on one level. Secondly, that Rajavidya, Krishna calls it, it's the king of all the knowledge, he says there, isn't it? Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, mentioned there before, that because it is Rajavidya, it is dependent on this Vidya, all other Vidya exist here in the creation. All the Vidya depends on this Rajavidya alone. So here Krishna is saying to us, Pavitram. Pavitram means there is nothing else except this that will purify you. Why do we study things? To become purified, is it not? To want to get purified. Krishna is not referring to all the material knowledge here. You have to remember that. Material knowledge won't purify us. It will make us degraded more. All the material knowledge makes us further down the line. All useless things, we'll collect it and keep it in the head. And we will worry about all that throughout the life, and one day we'll go from here. With all that knowledge what we have got about the genes and about the all other, whatever, physics or chemistry or what do we do with all these things at the end when you leave this world? So therefore, knowledge is for one purpose, for purification. That is what knowledge has to do. We are contaminated already. We are impure at the moment, isn't it? No perfection inside. Purification means to become perfect. That's what purification does, to become perfect. So Krishna says here that there is no other knowledge in this world that will purify you like this Rajavidya. Like this Rajavidya. It purifies you so well that it purifies your body even and the mind as well. And this Anushtanam, where it means all the different sadhana what we perform, is for purification of this bodily existence. They call it in the Shastram as Sattva Samshuddhi. Sattva Samshuddhi, that's the word. Sattvam Samshuddhi. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses that word. Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi, he says. In the 13th or 14th chapter. Beginning. Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi, he says. That Sattva Samshuddhi is purification of one's own existence here. Vedic culture gives importance to that. Not to collect all the information from the world about the material objects. Science and so-called things, as far as Vedam is concerned, it's impure. If you acquire all that knowledge, you will get destroyed in that process, your own consciousness. So therefore, any knowledge, if it is not purifying your own existence, that knowledge is not considered worthwhile having it. So, purification of one's own existence is called Sattva Samshuddhi. That Sattva Samshuddhi means one's own existence, body, mind, everything. And you will notice that if you try through any other process, you will get to know finally that everything is still impure in us. We still have impure. When purity happens in the body and the mind, body you can purify various means, but purifying the mind is not easy, isn't it? When the mind is purified, what happens? When there is proper purification inside, attachment, aversion goes away. Ragadvesham goes away from inside. Hankering and lamentation stops. These are all the purified mind will behave in that way. Will not get disturbed. There is always shanti inside, peace inside. So, as long as I am thinking I am this body, and as long as I am thinking I am this body, you can never become a Brahmana. You can never become a Brahmana, that is the first qualification, according to Shastram. That you can put a thread on someone and say, call him a Brahmana and all, that's another thing. But Shastram is saying to us that as long as you are thinking you are the body, you are not a Brahmana. That's the first thing. That is why traditionally you will notice this, that highly, you can see examples in the Bhagavatam, Sudama's life, perfect example of Brahmana, isn't it? Never thought about the body for a second. That life, that existence, that is Brahmanyam. That is a Brahminical quality. Perfect Brahmana. Never to think that I am this body. That completely freedom from the body, that is Brahmanyam. That is the Brahminical nature. So, as long as you think that you are the body, then Shastram says to us that you are a cobbler then. The cobbler is always working with the skin, isn't it? While making different things with the with the skin, because you're attached to the skin then. Whereas the Brahmana is not attached to the skin, cobbler is attached to the skin, because that's how he operates. So anyone, on the other hand, even if you are in your karmam, if you are performing the activities of a cobbler, but at the same time, inside the realization of Brahman, Brahman realization is inside, Brahmi-sthiti, what Krishna calls it as Brahmi-sthiti. If that state is inside, he is a Brahmana. So inside, if you are in the state of a Brahman realized state, but externally with the body you have to work like a cobbler, Krishna says he is a Brahmana still, because inside the realization is there. Whereas some cases, externally they may acting like a Brahmana, but internally that purification has not happened. Then he is a cobbler. And he is a cobbler. So that is why he says here, in the Paramarthiyam, in the absolute platform, it is like that. Pavitram means, when Krishna uses that word pavitram in this verse, you have to understand what that word pavitram means. Pavitram is translated here as the purest. What does that purest mean? Purest means, the moment you are realized the self, and after that, even if your mind and body is engaged in certain activities in this world, even if your mind and body is doing various activities in this world, but you are realized the self inside, you are realized the self who you are, but if the body and mind is still busy with the activities in this world, and no matter whatever the prarabdham is bringing to you in life, in different ways, happiness or distress or anything, whatever it may be, still, in that case, you are still a Brahmana, willing to accept it in that way. Perfect example, as I mentioned in the Bhagavadam, is Sudama's life, isn't it? Prarabdham was very heavy with him, is it not? His prarabdham was very heavy. No food, no proper shelter, and living that life in that way. If you read, Shukha Brahmarshi himself is feeling sorry for Sudama. If you read the verses, Shukha Brahmarshi is feeling sorry for Sudama. If you read the verses, you will see. But Sudama is not disturbed. Sudama is not disturbed. Why? Because externally, prarabdham has brought all these problems, that poverty in him, and no proper food even to eat, and living in extreme poverty, but inside, fully satisfied in perfection. Inside. That is Brahmanyam. That's Brahmanyam. Inside, perfection, always fulfillment, no shortage. Outside, everything, nothing exists, total difficult situation. So you will see there when Krishna introduces Shukha Brahmarshi, have you noticed how he introduces him to the world? Can I look at that? In the 10th canto, if you look the 80th chapter, you will see Shri Shuka Uvacham Krishnasya Sil Sakha Kaschil Brahmano Brahmavittamaha Virakta Indriya Teshu Prashandalma Jidendriyaha Krishnasya Sil Sakha Kaschil Brahmano Brahmavittamaha. Definition of Brahmana, Shukha Brahmarshi has found. He wanted to present someone as a Brahmana to us, proper Brahmana. And the example he has found is Sudama. He says, Krishnasya sil sakha kaschil brahmano brahmavitamaham virakta indriyarteshu prashandalma jidendriyaham. See how many things what Krishna says. If Shukha Brahmarshi is talking about somebody as virakta, it means something. There is nobody who is more virakta than Shukha Brahmarshi himself. Is it not? If you look into Bhagavadam in the second canto, When Parikshit asked the question to Sukadeva Goswami that Dvitiya Skandam, in the second canto, you will see there, where he mentions that why do you go, tas kasmat bhajandi kavayo dhana dhurmadhanda, he says. Why do you go and flatter all these rich people in this world, he says. Is there no caves anywhere you can go and sleep? This is how Shiva Brahmashi is saying to Parikshit. Are there no caves anymore left in this world where you can sleep? Are there no trees anymore giving fruits so that you can eat them? Is there no water anymore flowing through the rivers which you can take and drink? Why do you go and flatter all these rich people to get money from them? Is it necessary? He is asking. In other words, Shukha Brahmarshi's nature is like that. Vairagyam inside. That strong Vairagyam. No attachment to the wealth, and he does not believe in any of these things. And then Shukha Brahmarshi is talking about Sudama like this. Virakta indriyartheshu prashandalma jidendriyaha krishnasya seel sakha kaschil brahmano brahmavitamaha virakta indriyateshu prashandalma jidendriyaha. Each and every word there is based on that brahminical nature of Sudama. That whatever prarabdham is coming, he is not bothered. Life is real distress for him in otherwise, except his spiritual realizations. Total poverty, isn't it? In some places you will see that he talks about that, that because there was no proper food at home, he hasn't got proper food to eat. Dhamani sandadam, he says. Dhamani means all the veins and everything has come out from the body. If you look into his body, because there was always Ekadashi every day. Every day was a Ekadashi at home. There was nothing to eat. So that is how they lived. So, that is why when we realize that Krishna says here that the pavitram means this, purification in that way. That is purification. He was so high in purified state of existence that whatever that was happening to the body did not matter. The living conditions did not bother him. That is that purification of existence. Prarabdham has brought a lot of problems, was not disturbed over that. And because of Swarupa Anubhuti, that means self-realization inside, when that has happened, body and the mind was not anymore a burden for him. Body and the mind was not a burden. Whatever prarabdham has brought was not disturbing him, and he was able to live in extreme happiness in this world, in that brahmajyotis, brahmajnanam, in that state. That is called purification of one's existence. That is purification. Purification means that. Purification is not using the best Channel 5 perfumes and everything and makes it smell nicely, and wherever you go, people say, oh, he looks very good. That's not the kind of purification Krishna is talking about this here. This pavitram means this. Pavitram means true realization, like Sudama had. True realization, not giving any more value to the body and the mind. In other words, not identifying with the body and the mind anymore. And whatever that's happening to the body and the mind, not taking it seriously anymore. And at the same time, whatever problems prarabdham is bringing here, not disturbed over that, still able to stay in that state of full realization, that is called pavitram, purified existence. That is that pavitram Krishna is talking about here. Raja vidya, raja guhyam, pavitram idam uttamam, pratyakshavagamam dharmyam, susukham kartum avyayam, Krishna is saying. Is it not? So, Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram. It is so Pavitram, it's so pure, this knowledge. It will make, if it is realized, you will all become like Sudama. You will become like Sudama. That is Pavitram. Pavitram means that existence, state of existence, like Sudama state of existence. So, so here you can see that. Sometimes, because also what else is there? The false ego has gone completely from inside. Such a surrendered personality he was, wasn't he? Why? Personality has gone from inside. So pure, Brahmajnanam, Brahmavidya, inside. Brahmisthiti, as Krishna calls it, isn't it? So Brahmisthiti inside, the false ego has completely gone away from inside. No more false ego. Whatever happens in life, you'll go along with it. And because he was like that, Krishna found it very difficult to deal with him. When he came to visit Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna didn't know what to do with him. He won't ask for anything, first thing. He won't ask for anything. And when you offer something to him, he says, I don't want anything. So if you are so renounced and detached from this world, and he has no value for any of the material opulences, and while leaving the palace and walking back to home, he is feeling that Krishna has done me a great favor. He knows that if he gives me all the opulences, I will get attached to all of them. So he has done me a great favor to think like that. Suppose if we were us, we have gone to see Krishna, and Krishna has sent us back without giving anything. What will we say? We are already saying that we are going to temple, and if things didn't happen the way we want it to happen, we'll say, well, this Gokulananda, there is no power, he has no power. He can't do anything, we'll say. This is us. Us lot. That's us. That is the difference. When Sudama went back from the palace, he's saying, Shubramarshi says this, that Krishna has not offered anything to him. And Krishna didn't know what to offer to him. He put him in trouble. Rukmini says to him that what Krishna says to Rukmini, you have not looked after him properly, because Rukmini is in charge, isn't it, of the money side of it. So Rukmini says that if you do keep on taking this flat rice, Prithuka Tandulam, if you keep on taking it, then I will be doing my job there, I will be working there, I'll have to work there in Sudama's home. I'm not going to do that. So he stopped Krishna from taking any more from there. Then Krishna had a discussion with Rukmini, what should I do with this person? He won't ask for anything. If you give anything, he doesn't want anything. For such a people, what do you do with them? So he was going back saying this, Krishna has not given me anything because he is so good to me that he does not want me to get... So see, that strength of faith in that purity, the purity inside that person, that is what you have to appreciate, that respect that purity inside, that is Brahmanyam, Brahminical quality. That purity, that simplicity and truthfulness inside, that you don't find elsewhere, do you? That is what Brahmanyam means. So that is why Subramarshi uses all these adjectives there to talk about Sudama. Krishnasyasil sakakaschil brahmano brahmavittama prashandalma jidendriya. So many titles given. To whom? For Sudama. Why? Sudama had nothing. Still, Shubramarshi thinks he is the someone who has to be looked for guidance. And this chapter comes, 80th chapter. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, there are three types of devotees based on the three modes of nature. Those who are in the mode of passion, those who are in the mode of ignorance, and those who are in the mode of goodness. The last many chapters are those related to the mode of goodness. And Sudama is among that group. Whereas devotees like Shishubala, they are also devotees. They all went back, did they not? They didn't stay. They got back. Shishubala, Dandavaktra, Salva, Jarasandha, and Kamsa, they are all the ones in the passion. Sudama, Bahulashva, Shudadeva, you will see all those personalities mentioned at the end of the 10th canto, they are the ones in the mode of goodness. Gopis and others, they were the ones who were in the mode of ignorance. You may be surprised to say that, but it is so. Gopis didn't know anything. What did they know? They have Tena, Jida, Shudigana, Aha. Krishna is saying that. We are not saying that. Krishna is saying that. Tena, Jida, Shudigana, Aha. Nobasida Mahatamaha Avrada Taptatavasaha Salsangan Mam Ubhagadaha. Referring to Gopis, Krishna is saying this. They never studied Shruti, Vedam. They were not educated in the Vedam. They were ordinary people. Ordinary people in Vrindavanam. No upasita mahatmaha. They have not any time worshipped any great personality. Rarely you see gopis had any, they had no opportunity. They just lived a simple life in the village in Vrindavanam with the cowherd men. They had a simple life there. Avrata tapta tapasaha. They have not executed any serious penances. Is it not? What penances? The only thing what you see about the gopis in the Bhagavadam is that they have executed this 41 days Kartyayani Vratam. You will see that Hemanta Padmeratri, that's one chapter talking about Kartyayani Vratam. Gopis all went and bathed in the river and they worshipped Kartyayani Devi after the Sri Parvati, after bathing, and they prepared some nice offerings and offered to Sri Kartyayani Devi and worshipped her. That's the only thing mentioned about gopis have performed as a vratam or as a austerity or a penance like that. So Krishna is saying here, tenathita shrutiganaha, they have never studied Vedam. No upasita mahatamaha, they have not served any great personality. Avrata tapta tapasaha, they have not executed any serious penances either. But salsangamam upagadaha, due to their association, salsangam, they came up. So it does not matter whether goodness, passion or ignorance, whatever may be the modes of nature in a person, it is possible, Krishna mentions this in the chapter, in the 11th canto, in the 12th chapter, with reference to the glories of satsangam. That's where he mentions this. So there you can see, gopis also, Krishna says, they have also come up through satsangam. And they became the greatest of the devotees, were they not? They became the greatest devotees after all, at the end of all that. Then we have got all these great personalities like Kamsa, Jarasandha, Shishupala, Dandavaktra, Salva, and many others, Paundra Vasudevan, all of them, who dressed up like Krishna and said to him that, "You are not Vasudeva, I am Vasudeva," he says. Krishna smiled at him, isn't it? Krishna, he says, "Okay, are you ready to accept my Sudarshana disc?" He said, he says, yes, he stood there and he sent the disc and that was the end of that. He also gone back home to the spiritual world. He got liberated from this world. So all those personalities you find in the 10th canto, they are all in the mode of passion, the jogunam in them. And then finally, those who are in the satugunam is mentioned there. That is this Sudama, Shrutadeva, Bahulashva, and many other devotees who are spoken at the end. At that chapters you will find, they are all in the ones in the mode of goodness. And that is why Sudama's story was kept to the very end of 10th canto. You can see why it was spoken at the very end. So one Mahalpa used to say like this. He used to say, "I am very hopeless," he says. "I am hopeless." He was a great Mahalpa. He used to say, "I am hopeless." And first he will say, he was suffering with his body. He says like this, "Body is giving me a lot of trouble," he says. "The body is giving me a lot of trouble. And not only that, the mind is also giving me trouble." This Mahatma used to say like this. "The body is giving me a lot of trouble. The mind is giving me a lot of trouble. And I am hopeless," he said. So, and when somebody goes and meets him, he says, "You have got a healthy body," he says. "You got a healthy body. And your health is good." After saying all this, he'll say to you, "Oh, you got a healthy body. My body is giving me a lot of trouble. Mind is giving me a lot of trouble. And I'm hopeless." And then after saying all that, he will say to him that, "I'm not less fortunate, you know." He says like that to him. "You have got everything. I have none of these. No money, no good health, none of them. But I'm not unfortunate," he says. Why? Because if you have all those things, then it is very difficult to throw it away. If you have good health in the body, it's very difficult to give up the body. Whereas if your body is giving you a lot of trouble, one day you will say, "I don't want it anymore." Would you not? Everybody will say this, no matter who it is. Today the body is able to do something, so you like to have it. But the moment the body has become useless, if it's only giving you trouble, nothing but trouble, all the time, what will you say? You will start thinking yourself, "I'm more than happy to throw it away, this body." So, and everything like that in this world, is it not? Everything is like that in this world. Good things, it's very difficult to throw it away. But if the thing is bad, it's no use to us anytime, very easily you can throw it away. Similarly, every time we realize that body is giving me trouble, the mind is giving me trouble, and it is a problem, it will not be very difficult to shed this body or the mind. That because only perfection is inside, not in the body, you will very easily realize it at that time, when that happens. When the body gives a lot of trouble, and the mind is also giving a lot of trouble, very easily you will realize that there is no perfection in the body or perfection in the mind. Very simple thing, that is, that's what Krishna is saying here, that very easily in that state, this Brahma Vidya will work. So, great Mahatmas, they will talk about Brahma Vidya in such a state, said that body and the mind, don't try to keep on purifying this body and the mind. Mahatmas will always say that to us. And by their own lifestyle, they will show it to us. Not to endeavor very hard to keep this body and the mind in a perfect state. Many proper Mahatmas, if you look into their lifestyle, you will see that they won't endeavor very hard to keep the body and the mind in a perfect state. Because they know it is avidya. It is not worthwhile wasting time to make this body and the mind perfect. It will never become perfect. You can try as much as you like. Forget about the mind, even the gross body. Every day we have to bathe, isn't it? It's not enough once a week. Maybe there are people who say once a week is enough. But if you don't bathe one day, next day it starts smelling. Body starts smelling. And all the things that's coming out from the body, when you see that, and you realize that you are carrying all these 24 hours with you everywhere, and try to cover it up with some good clothes and some makeup and all that, trying to present it to the world, oh, everything is perfect inside. What is perfect inside? Inside is full of filth, is it not? It is full of filth. We know that. You can ask the doctors, they'll tell you what is inside, what goes on inside there. After seeing that, still getting attached to the body, thinking that it's going to be perfect one day. You will never become perfect. That is the point Krishna is making here. So, Swan Jugupsa, Patanjali says this in the Yoga Sutram. Patanjali puts it, Swan Jugupsa. Jugupsa means feeling a kind of disgust with the body. The yogis have that. Yogis all come to that state, feeling disgusted with this body at the end. Patanjali says that. No matter how many times you bathe, at the end, it is still filthy. It is still dirty. Outside it may look okay, but inside is all filthy anyway. So, externally you can bathe, but inside how will you bathe? How will you bathe inside, isn't it? So in the yoga process, Patanjali's yoga system, there is a process. They put a cloth through the hole of the nose and pull it through the other and purifying inside. So many things Patanjali recommends like this. So even if you do all that things, even if you have perfected this body as best as you can through the yoga practices, ultimately this body is still body. It's a gross body it is, isn't it? It will never become pure. It will never become pure. No matter whatever you do, it is impossible. Even if you purify it, even if you do worship of that pavitram pavitram, Krishna is saying the word pavitram there, you can think it's all pure inside, but it will not purify you inside. It's not possible to purify inside. Therefore, Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, there is nothing that will purify you unlike knowledge. Unlike knowledge. When knowledge comes, what happens? This realization comes, I should not waste my time trying to make this body perfect. I should not waste my time trying to make this mind perfect. That is the knowledge that will come from self-realization. If you look into all the great personalities in this, realized souls in this world, if you look at them, you don't want to look at them again. They all look so ugly and dirty and filthy. many, all of them. Because Vedavyas looked so ugly and filthy and dirty, when Amba, Ambi and Ambalika was brought by Bhishma, and they asked Ambalika to go and have union with Vedavyas, she said, no, I'm not going to sleep with him, she said. She walked away from there. And that's when the servant maid was sent to him, and then Vidura was born from that relationship. This is Vedavyas, who has given a Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita. We are studying that books, what Vedavyas has given. Vedavyas was born. Vedavyas' father was Parashara Maharshi. Mother was Satyavadi. Satyavadi was a fisherwoman, isn't it? She was a daughter of a fisherman. And naturally, these people who are dealing with the fish all the time, they smell fish. They smell fish because of the constant contact with the fish. And Satyavadi Devi, we have to call her like that because she is Vedavyasa's mother. And she used to smell fish. And they were saying to Vedavyasa, you also smell fish. The Brahmanas of those days, the caste Brahmanas, whoever you call them, they rejected Vedavyasa because of this. In appearance, he looks so ugly. His appearance was so, with a long beard, matted hair, and not even dressed properly with a loincloth, and looked every way not very impressive from our standard. But why we worship Vedavyas? Vyasa Purnima is there, Vedavyasa Jayanti, isn't it? We worship him. Why? Because he is purer than anybody else in this world because of the knowledge inside. It is the knowledge that purified that person. Vedavyas is because of that. Similarly, if you look into Bhagavatam, remember all that sages that is listed there, Atri, Angiras, Vasishta, Kannu Maharshi, Bhrigu, and Shavana Maharshi, Ashtavakra, and Mandhadav, a list, number of them in the Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 10th canto, you will see, number of them mentioned. All of them, practically every one of them, none of them were worth even looking at, in the sense that if you are looking at their form outside, you won't want to look at it again. They were never good looking. None of them were good looking. And that is what Krishna used that to tease Rukmini. Have you noticed that? When Krishna started in the 60th chapter, in the 10th canto, remember Krishna had a quarrel with Rukmini. So when the quarrel happened, Krishna says to Rukmini, Rukmini, why did you marry me? Krishna says to Rukmini. Rukmini says, you are so beautiful, this, that and the other. Rukmini says to Krishna. Krishna says, you say, I am beautiful? I don't think I am so beautiful, Krishna says. He says, my background, you know what I have done. In my younger days, I never went to school. I never did that. All I was doing was stealing and thieving in Vrindavanam. This was my childhood, what I have done. Krishna is saying this to Rukmini. All my younger days, the childhood days, I didn't go to school, study anything, no Vedam, no Shastram, nothing I was interested in. All I was interested was playing with the gopis and stealing their butter, milk and other things, and that was my childhood. After that, what happened to me? I went to Mathura, and there I was more interested in acquiring the kingdom and fighting and killing the other Kshatriya kings there. So practically all that time I was involved in such things. Then after moving to Dwaraka, if you go back to my history, I was there in every marriage and I was kidnapping everybody in all the marriages. All the Kshatriyas were complaining, if Krishna keeps on doing this, there will be no girls for us to marry. The princes were saying like this. So all these records doesn't give a very good impression about me, says to Rukmini. Rukmini tolerated all that, quiet, kept quiet, didn't say anything. But then finally Krishna put the bomb. Krishna says to him, now that's okay. We have a saying, a man is recognized by the company he keeps, isn't it? Now, have you looked at my company? Who is my have you seen the people who come to visit me? He says to Rukmini. Rukmini was not very fond of those who were coming to see Krishna. Narada Maharshi, Vedavyas, And people like that, all with their huge beards and with their cloth was like that. Vishwamitra, Durvasav, people like that. Durvasav Muni, very difficult to place him under any circumstances. He never gets placed. These are my friends, Krishna says. I'm always busy with them. They come to see me and I'm also happy in their association. So that's how Krishna puts it. Why is it like that? This is the reason. This we have to understand. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam throughout, wherever there is a glorification, whether it is Kundi Devi or Bhishma or later on Akrura or Dhruva or Prahlada or anybody else, when they glorify Krishna, talking about Krishna's beauty and all that, till Krishna appears in front of them, they will talk about the beauty of Krishna. As soon as Krishna appears, they will switch off. They don't talk about the beauty anymore. Why? Reason is this. In the association of realized personalities, beauty goes away, knowledge takes over. The impact of the knowledge in us is so strong that shanti, what you experience in their presence, self-realization that happens within us at that moment due to their association is so powerful that the beauty of the, talking about the beauty of the form of the person is not important anymore. It won't happen. Prahlada is, Dhruva's prayers, if you look, you will see in the Bhagavatam. Dhruva was meditating on Krishna's form, Krishna's beautiful eyes, Krishna's beautiful ears, beautiful smile, beautiful hair, everything is there in the meditation. After the meditation, when Krishna appeared in front of Dhruva, no more talking about the beauty. Yonda pravesya mama vacham imam prasuptam sanjeevaya tagila shakti dhara sodham nam anyamsha hastacharana shravanam togadin prananamo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. This is how the prayer starts. Immediately switched off. Glorifying the form stopped and came back to the knowledge side. Why? As soon as Krishna appeared, the impact was so strong inside in Dhruva, the knowledge inside Dhruva started coming out in the form of these famous verses of Dhruvastuti, Dhruva's famous verses. So, important thing is, all self-realized souls, jnanis, great personalities and Krishna also, in their association what will happen is, the bodily importance, bodily beauty, bodily worship, everything moves away and gives to the knowledge side of it. Knowledge takes over at that time. Why? Knowledge purifies us. Knowledge will purify a person more effectively than any other bodily purifications. Because this purifies inside the mind, gets purified. We get purified inside the mind. So that is why, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying here that Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. It is in the one of the earlier chapters. I think it is in the fourth chapter. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. You will see one verse. See where it is. Nahityanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyade tat swayam yoga samsiddha kalen atmani vindati. Krishna is saying, Nahityanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyade. Krishna says, in this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Is it not? Krishna is saying there. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has achieved this enjoys the self within himself in due course of time. So how much value Krishna has given to that knowledge, you can see there. Is it not? And that is what Krishna is saying here also. In this verse also, Krishna is saying, Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram. So that pavitram is with reference to knowledge. Knowledge means knowledge of the self, not physics, chemistry. knowledge of the self. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam. That Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram, Ida Uttamam. Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam, Susukham, Kartam, Avyayam. Krishna says there, isn't it? So in order this to happen, some adjustment is necessary in the body and the mind in order to make it pavitram. That pavitram, purification to happen, some adjustment is necessary in the body and the mind. And that is where sadhana comes. Sadhana, anushtanam, all comes like that. Why? Through that sadhana and anushtanam, sattvagunam develops in a person. Sattvagunam develops in a person. The moment we come to knowledge, self-realization, pavitram idam uttamam, Krishna says here, there is nothing higher than this to purify a person, higher than this knowledge. Krishna is saying like that. Nothing higher than this knowledge to purify a person. So, because this knowledge of the self, it makes us absolutely pure. Absolutely pure, pavitram. And is it possible to know that? Krishna says, pratyakshavagamam. The next word, he says, pratyaksham avagamam. So, where can you find this? He says, this confidence, where will you find? Because, he says, you can experience it directly. Pratyaksham avagamam. Directly you can see it. Pratyaksham. You can see it clearer than this mic, what you can see. That change, that is pavitram, when that purification happens. So, there is a story about this, that one famous sannyasi, when he was small, he used to go and ask every guru, have you seen God, have you seen God? He used to ask this question. So, one Mahatma told him, I see God clearer than I way I see you now. I see the God clearer than I see you. So closely I'm seeing him than you are so close to me, but closer than that is the way I see God. So that is called aparoksham. Aparoksham, because it is in your experience, you see. It's not seeing with the eyes, it is experience. We consider seeing with the eyes as important. But aparoksha anubhuti, direct experience inside, is more important than seeing with the eyes. Something that you experience is more important than what you see with the eyes. Name and form you see with the eyes, they can disappear tomorrow. But anubhuti, aparoksha anubhuti, that will not go. That's there. It is experienced directly, isn't it? So it's not a faith. That's what Krishna is saying here. It's not a faith, not a belief, such a solid thing. It's not a faith or it's not a belief, but it's a solid experience inside with a conviction. More solid, more real than your body or the mind. You see, this Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam Krishna is talking about, it is more solid and more real than our body or the mind. Today we are thinking the body and the mind is real, isn't it? That's how much we are absorbed in the body. Krishna is saying, once this realization comes of this Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, it purifies you to such an extent, pavitram idam uttamam, and it is so real, pratyaksham, directly you are perceiving it, pratyakshavagamam dharmyam, that how it's more pure and it's more crystal clear to you because you are directly experiencing than your own body and your own mind. That is the degree of purification that will come from that. And body and mind, from the Vedantam point of view, is not real. Body and mind is not real. In our avidya, in ajnanam, we are thinking body and mind is real. Because it is in us very deep rooted, isn't it? Due to identification with the body. So, we will stop there for a few minutes and we'll continue after that. So, Krishna, Shri Bhagavan Vacham, idantume guhyadamam pravakshyami anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahidam yajnatva mokshase ashubhad. Krishna says in the first verse, is it not? So there, te tubhyam guhyadamam gopyadamam pravakshyami kathayishyami anasuyave asuya rahitaya. So extremely confidential topic, this knowledge of the soul, Brahmavidya. Krishna says to Arjuna that I will reveal this to you because you are free from envy. Envy, we saw what that word means, isn't it? Envy is not, asuya is not the normal envy what we are talking about. Here, when you say you are envious of someone, what does it mean? You are envious of his position or envious of his wealth or envious of his beauty or whatever. That is not what Krishna is talking about here. We saw that, again I've spoken before, that envy means that you have some preconceived ideas in your mind and not willing to change when Krishna says something. Still holding on to our own preconceived ideas about spiritual life. We all have that problem. We have our own preconceived ideas, prejudice in other words, in us, which we won't change when Krishna says something. And Krishna is saying here, that is envy. That is what is called envy. Not anything else. That is enviousness it is. That we have our preconceived ideas. Krishna is telling us the truth. Krishna is speaking from a purely from a spiritual position. But not recognizing that and accepting it, but still trying to go against that due to our conditioning inside, that preconceived ideas. That is what called asuya. An asuya way, Krishna is saying. An asuya way. So, te tubhyam guhyatamam gopyatamam pravrshyami kathayishyami anasuyave asuya rahitaya. Because Arjuna didn't have that nature. Arjuna was always open with things. Always willing to accept what Krishna was saying. Didn't want to. Initially he did a little resistance. Showed that he was very concerned about family and all other things in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. But when Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam. He surrendered to Krishna, isn't it? With that asuya has gone. No more envy inside. So, kim tat jnanam kim vishishtam vijnana sahidam anubhava yuktam. Acharya Swami's bhashyam on that. He says here, what is this kim tat jnanam? What is this knowledge Krishna is talking about? And why is it so special, this knowledge? Yal jnanam. Krishna says here, Krishna says, yal jnanam jnatva prapya mokshase ashubhad samsara bandhanad tat cha. The effect of this knowledge is, once you have got that, you will escape from this material existence. Prapya mokshase ashubhad samsara bandhanad tat cha. That you will escape from material existence. In other words, freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, birth, death, old age and disease, escaping from all that. That is ashubham. Samsara bandhanam it is called, isn't it? Samsara bandhanam means material bondage or material existence. Birth, death, old age and disease is what that means. So escaping from all that will happen that yal jnanam yatva, once you receive this knowledge in realizations. Then he said, Krishna says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram Ida Uttamam, Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Sasukham Kartum Avyayam. Now, Raja Vidya, Vidyanam Raja. Vidyanam Raja. Of all the Vidyas, here he is the Raja. This Raja Vidya. Deepti Adishayavatvad, Deepyade Ihi Vayam, Adishayena, Brahma Vidya, Sarva Vidyanam. This is the Bhashyam, commentary on that verse. Raja Vidya, Vidyanam Raja. All the Vidyas, it is the Raja, it is the king. And Deepti Adishaya Vatvad, because it illuminates a person in such a way, Deepya Dehi Iyam Adishayena Brahma Vidya Sarva Vidyanam. This Brahma Vidya of all the Vidya gets illuminated because of this Brahma Vidya. All other Vidya exists because of Brahma Vidya. So, among all other Vidya, this Brahma Vidya is the supreme Vidya, supreme knowledge. Tatha Raja Guhyam Guhyanam Raja Pavitram Pavanam Idam Uttamam Sarvesham Pavananam Shuddhigaranam Idam Brahma Jnanam Ulkrishtatamam Anega Janma Sahasra Sanjidam Abhi, dharma, adharmadi, samulam, karma, kshanamatrad, basmi karoti, ityada, kim, tasya, pavanatvam, vaktavyam. This is the Bhashya. He says here, and this Rajavidya is Rajaguhyam. Extremely confidential it is. Because of all the confidential things, this Rajavidya, Brahmavidya Rahasyam. Brahmavidya is the supremely confidential among all the, because it purifies everything to the highest degree. It is most pure and most auspicious among all the knowledge. Why? In several lifetimes, what we have accumulated, not this lifetime, several lifetimes, through 8.4 million different species when we pass through, we have acquired different vasanas from all that, is it not? Through different lifetimes, we have acquired different vasanas, is it not? We were a snake once, a rat once, a cat once, dog once, all that, a small percentage of that is still there inside us. It has not gone yet. It's still there inside us. All that, effect of all that, from several lifetimes, and even human body, how many bodies we had before, from that all we have accumulated a lot of vasanas inside. And that anega janma sahasra sanjidam, from several lifetimes, what you have accumulated in the bag, sanji means bag, the anega janma sahasra sanjidam, thousands of lifetimes, what you have brought together as your vasanas in your subtle body, in sushma shariram and the karana shariram. In the subtle body and the causal body, what is present there, abhi, at this time, dharma adharma di samulam karma kshana matrat basmi karoti. As soon as this knowledge goes inside, what it does is that abhi dharma adharma di vasana, which is present inside us, it will develop into karmam later. Is it not? Vasana will turn into karmam later. And that karmam, what will come out from that, will be either religious or irreligious. Either it will be dharmam or it will be adharmam. Either it will become auspicious or it will become inauspicious. The activities that comes from the vasanas, what we have created from several lifetimes. Samulam, but they will be completely destroyed. Karma kshana matrat basmi karoti. It will be burnt into ashes when this self-realization happens in a person. That is the power of this knowledge. Krishna is saying that. So, ityada kim tasya pavanatum vektavyam. Pavanatum vaktavyam. Is there any more necessity to talk about it? Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Any other knowledge what we acquire in this world cannot match with this Brahmavidya. Why? Krishna is saying, in several lifetimes what you have accumulated, that vasana inside, that is our impurity inside, isn't it? Karma vasana, which is normally classified into two categories, Shubha vasana, Ashubha vasana, pure and impure. Some of them will develop into pure karma, good karma. Some of them will develop into bad karma. In us, every one of us, the vasanas inside us will eventually compel us to act one way or the other. Either in the right way or in the wrong way. Either according to dharmam or according to adharmam. Whatever it is, Krishna is saying here, it does not matter, that anega janma sahasra sanjidam abhi dharma adharmadi samulam karmam kshana matrat. Once this knowledge comes in, Krishna said, kshana matrat basmi garoti, it will burn them into ashes, all that vasanas inside. We must know how the vasanas work. You remember, in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, when, go back to fifth canto. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Shuga Brahmarshi gave a very graphic description of the hellish planets. You know that, don't you? In the fifth canto, at the end of fifth canto, Shuga Brahmarshi told Parikshit Maharaj a very detailed description of the hellish planets. So, at that time, in that hellish planets, if you read, you will see how painful it is to go through those hellish planets, isn't it? Some of the description there, you'll be fried in the oil in there, in the large quantities of oil which is boiling, you'll put in there and you'll be fried there. I will be made to run thousands of miles without a drop of water. And a lot of painful experiences fifth canto, you will see in the Naragaloka Varnana, it is called, the hellish planet's description. After hearing all that, Parikshit Maharaj kept quiet, didn't say anything. And when the sixth canto started, Shiva Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, if you do any sinful activities in this world, if you do not atone for that, prayaschitam, if you do not atone for that, it's not going to be, you'll get a lot of problems after that. If you don't perform the proper atonement. If you don't perform proper atonement, this proper atonement means there is, in Vedam, there is description for each and every sinful activity, what is the process of atonement. That is also mentioned there, isn't it? So, knowing all this, Shuka Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, for every sinful activity, what you have done, knowingly or unknowingly, if anything has happened, you should perform atonement for that. Prayaschitam vimarshanam, he says. Prayaschitam should be performed. He said this to who? To Parikshit. Parikshit heard that and he didn't say anything at that time. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see this. So Shiva Brahmarshi thought that why does not Parikshit is not talking about atonement? Parikshit is not saying anything because only a few days ago he took the dead snake and put it on the throat of the sage Shamigarshi, is it not? And now he is not still not concerned about performing any atonement about that, and he is not even talking about it. So seeing this, Parikshit asked Shuka Brahmarshi a question there. Parikshit says to Shuka Brahmarshi, this atonement what you are talking about, I don't think it is really effective, he said. It's not very effective. Okay, if you have done something, you perform, do some atonement and you will get released from that. But the vasana inside to perform such a sinful thing has not gone away still from inside. You may have escaped from the reaction of this particular thing what you have done. Particular sinful activity. Suppose somebody is very sinful in his life, engaged in some sinful activities. According to Vedam, there are many sinful activities. So if somebody is very sinful in life, and somebody told him, look, you have been so sinful, engaged in so many sinful activities, you should perform atonement to free yourself from that. You may have done that, but Parikshit says that I don't think that's good enough, he says. Karmana karma nirharam, he says. Escaping from effect of karmam, karmic reaction, through another karmam is not the process. Parikshit says, I have no belief, faith in that. He said this to Shuka Brahmarshi. Parikshit said this to Shuka Brahmarshi. I don't have any faith in this karmam, he says. Karmanam karma nirharam. Trying to escape from one karmam through another karmam, I don't think it's going to be very effective because the person who has done such a karmam, he still have his vasana inside. He, as soon as this karmam is counteracted by another karmam, he is going to go and repeat the same thing again. So what is the benefit? What is the use? If he is going to commit the same sinful activity again, what good is it going to help, he says. When Parikshit said that, Shuka Brahmarshi said to him, you are a very intelligent person. He said, you have understood what is Krishna consciousness. He says to him there. Shuka Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, appreciating his intelligence to see things in a deeper level, rather than simply thinking that karmanam karmanaharam. Instead, Parikshit says, I want to know, is there anything once for all to stop this sinful business? Acting sinfully in this world. Is there a way of doing that? And that is when he talks about the story of Ajamila. Ajamila's story in the sixth canto is spoken at that time. So, that is what the problem is. In several lifetimes, we commit sinful activities, karma vasana is inside, again we are continuing karma in this world, again karma vasana comes, and it is stacked up inside in the subtle body. And the moment it gets an opportunity, it will come out again. Krishna is saying here, even the result of those karma vasana, what is inside, that can be burned with the power of knowledge. That's what Krishna is saying here. Knowledge is so powerful that this knowledge, if it gets in, it will even burn those vasanas what is inside, which we have accumulated in several many other lifetimes even. That's why it says here that anega janma sahasra sanchidam api dharma adharma adi samulam karma. Not externally, how will they burn the vasanas inside? Vasishtha Maharshi says this. In the Yoga Vasishtham you will see. Suppose there is a tree standing. You can burn that tree, but the tree is not dead. Sometimes you will see from the trees, the root, you will see sometimes the council people, they come and kill big trees. After they have gone, they cut the whole tree and gone. And then after a few weeks, something else comes out again. A shoot comes out from that trunk again. It comes out. Particularly in the case of this banyan tree, how it is, banyan tree is standing here, its roots will be probably half a mile further away. Huge banyan trees. In so many different places, its roots will be there, spread all over. So if you cut the tree at the root itself, if you think that the tree is destroyed, it's not killed yet. After a few months, you come back and look, in so many different places, in different locations, wherever it had the roots, it has come out again. It has come out again. Comes up again. So even by burning the root, it's not destroyed. So what does Vasishtha says there? Vasishtha says that it's not good enough if you kill the tree, if you burn the root, but the seed from which it has come out, you have to burn the seed itself. The very seed itself you have to burn. These vasanas are like the seed in us. The vasanas inside us are like the seed. That seed has to be burned. It's no good by burning the trunk or burning the branches. But the very root from where this tree has started building up, which is our karma vasana inside us, so that the tree, very root, the seed itself has to be burned. That's why it's mentioned here, anega janma sahasra sanchidam abhi dharma adharmadi sa moolam. Moolam means very root, the seed of it has to be destroyed. It should be burned. Once you burn the seed, then it cannot sprout again. Is it not? If you burn the seed, then it won't sprout again. Because you can't, there's no life anymore left in that. Karma kshana matrad basmi karodi. It has to be burned into ashes. Ityada kim tasya pavanatum vaktavyam. From this you can understand why Krishna is saying it is pavitram. That is why it's pavitram. Because it purifies you to such an extent that even the karma vasanas inside, what is in the sanchidam. Karma means three levels. Prarabdham, agamam, sanchidam. Prarabdham is what we are going through now in this lifetime. Agamam is what we are creating now for the future. Sanchidam is already what is in storage, which is going to come up later in another lifetime, which is already in the subtle body, which has not manifested yet, which has not fructified, which will fructify in later and other lifetimes. So that including that sanchidam once gets burned with the effect of knowledge. That's what Krishna is saying there. So pavanatum vaktavyam kimcha pratyaksha avagamam pratyakshena sukhadehe iva avagamo yasya tat pratyaksha avagamam. So this one thing Krishna is saying, pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. The beauty of this knowledge of the self, he says, Krishna is saying, you can experience it like this directly, like anything else. Directly you can experience it yourself. Aneka gunavataha abhi dharma viruddhatvam drishtam na tatha almajnanam dharma virodi kintu dharmyam dharmad anupedam. So, sometimes, dharmam is a very difficult thing. There are so many vastus in this world. Some of them may be against dharmam. Some of them may be favorable to dharmam. So, sometimes, some objects, have got that quality in them, the many qualities in them, but when it comes to the execution of dharmam is concerned, they are not favorable. They are not favorable. But this knowledge of the self, Krishna is saying here, ആത്മജ്ഞാനം ന തഥ ആത്മജ്ഞാനം ധർമ്മവിരോധി. The beauty of the knowledge of the self is, when you realize this knowledge, you will not act any time under any circumstances against dharma, against religious principles. It will become so ingrained inside, because whatever you do at that time after realizing the self will naturally be according to dharma, according to dharma. This is a very difficult situation, in the sense that when we have no knowledge of the self, when we have no knowledge of the self, like all of us now, sometimes we are forced to act in the wrong way, is it not? We are forced to act in the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? That there are sometimes situations develop in life that you are forced to act in the wrong way due to the particular situation where you are in. To escape from that situation, you may have to act sometimes in the wrong way. Inside you know it is the wrong way, but still you are willing to act in the wrong way. Krishna is saying, this knowledge of the self, when that happens in a person, whatever he does, it will not be against dharma. Often we have the confusion, is it dharmam or is it adharmam to do something, isn't it? Is it dharmam or is it adharmam? This question is always there. It is a very difficult question. It's a very difficult question to answer. What is dharmam? What is adharmam? Krishna's point is, once you have realized the self, whatever you do will be in accordance with dharmam. There will be no adharmam after that. There will be no adharmam after that. Many examples are there for this. I mean, we can go on talking about it. What is dharmam, adharmam? How crisis develops within us. Every individual experiences this crisis in life. As a nation, it experiences this crisis. Because within the framework of this maya, whatever goes on here, very difficult to logicize anything here, isn't it? Very difficult to logicize anything. So that's why this problem is coming. Prabhupada gave one example. Once it so happened, Prabhupada mentions this, that he was walking through one street in Calcutta in his younger days. He was walking through a street in Calcutta. So there was one family, and they had two children, a boy and a girl, and the husband, the father and mother. They were a small family living together. It so happened, the eldest was the girl and the next one was the boy, the eldest girl and the boy. So the girl got very sick with typhoid. And Prabhupada was walking through the street at that time. He says this experience himself, direct experience. When the girl was very sick due to typhoid is a fever, isn't it? An illness. And they restrict you from eating any solids. You're allowed to have some liquid, but solids, because of your high body temperature and all that, the doctors restrict. So this girl was sick at home, and he probably didn't know about this. While walking through the street, he saw the mother as caught hold of the son, young son, and she was beating him. She was beating this boy. So Prabhupada felt compassion for the boy. Why does he get beaten like this? So he asked the mother, why are you beating him? We ask all these things, isn't it? In the villages it is like that. You ask all, inquire everybody's welfare. So in a natural way, Prabhupada asked this question to the mother, why are you beating this child like this? So mother says to Prabhupada, that look, his sister is ill with typhoid. And it's been very strictly told, we have told him that she should not be given any solid food. But what happened was, the mother was cooking some special thing in the kitchen, was preparing some nice dishes, some pakoras or whatever, kachoris or whatever it is. She was making that. So the smell was coming to the room where she was sleeping. And the girl knows that she can't have it. She asks for it, they won't give it to her. So without the mother's knowledge, this girl has asked her brother to go and get one from the kitchen because she was feeling that desire to eat that. So the boy thought, I'll do something good to the girl, my sister, beloved sister. I'll help her. So without the mother's knowledge, he went to the kitchen and brought some two kachoris and gave it to her, and she ate it very happily. Ate it very happily. Mother came to know about this. Now, Prabhupada is saying there, the boy has done with good intention. His intentions were good. He felt compassion for the girl, sister, and did this. But the result was that he got the beating from the mother. Similarly, Krishna is saying, you have to know first thing what is right and wrong before you showing your compassion to anybody. So in these situations like this, always happens in life. What is dharmam? What is adharmam? We don't know what is the right thing. For example, fighting is going on in so many places. In Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. In one level, you feel sorry about the whole situation. On another level, you don't know what to do about it. There is a crisis. Dharmam or adharmam? What is dharmam here? Is dharmam to send troops there and to fight the war, or is it adharmam to withdraw to keep the troops there? This question always comes, isn't it? There's no answer to all these questions. There's no answer to all these questions. Same thing you can see about Iraq also. Was it the right thing to send the troops or not? This question. Some people say it was wrong to send the troops. Some people say it was the right thing to do. Libya, the same thing. Is it not? So like this, this is on a national level. But if you look on our individual level also, in our vyavaharam, day-to-day vyavaharam, you can see the same problem coming up every now and then. Whether it is the right thing to do or is not the right thing to do. So dharmam, adharmam is a problem for everybody to act properly in the right way, in the every situation. Krishna is saying here, once you have realized the self, you will not be able to do anything which is against dharmam, which is against the dharmam. In other words, a realized soul, all his activities are pure. In other words, it cannot cause adharmam in any way. By the very fact that he has realized the truth. Self-realization makes a person freedom from all these problems. For conditioned state, we have a problem. Because we have to use our mind and intelligence to make the decision, what is right and wrong. Whereas in the case of people who are realized the self, because they have realized the self, for them, dharmam, adharmam doesn't exist anymore. Practically, this is all in one level only. This dharmam, adharmam is in one level. After a certain stage, like Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, gunam, dosham, right and wrong, is in one level and says to Uddhava, finally he says, Uddhava, don't worry about good and bad. To think that there is something good and something bad itself is bad, he says. That's how he puts it. So you transcend good and bad at that time, isn't it? You transcend that. Good and bad doesn't exist anymore. So long as something is good, something is bad, there is duality there. Dharmam, adharmam is also another duality. Once you have realized the self, there is no more duality inside you, and therefore there is no dharmam, there is no adharmam. Whatever you have done, it's all for the good of the world. There can't be anything bad that can come out from a person who has realized the truth. That's what it means. So, anega janma sahasra sanchidam api dharma adharmadi samulam karma kshanamatrat basmi karoti. And anekam gunavada abhi dharma viruddhatvam drishtam na tatha atmajnanam dharma virodi kindu dharmyam dharmad anupedam. Because self-realization and dharmam are together. Only the self-realized soul knows what is dharmam. What he does is dharmam. And what he does not do is adharmam. That is how dharmam, adharmam you can classify. What he does is dharmam, what he doesn't do is adharmam. What he doesn't do is adharmam. So, that is that. Evam
అపిస్యాల్ దుస్సంబాద్యం ఇతి అతః ఆహ సుసుఖం కర్తుం యథా రత్న వివేక విజ్ఞానం.
ఇసే కృష్ణ సేస్ హియర్ అనదర్ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ థింగ్ ఇన్ దట్ వర్డ్స్ యూ విల్ సీ ప్రత్యక్షం అవగమం ధర్మ్యం సుసుఖం కర్తుం అవ్యయం. కృష్ణ సేస్ సుసుఖం కర్తుం అవ్యయం. He says it's not very difficult to get this realization, just like when you have to get the knowledge of the expensive jewels, you can learn about that because there is prescribed information about the different jewels, very expensive jewels. You are able to get their quality certified easily, and that can be learned by anyone. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that very easily you can get this knowledge also. Krishna mentions that here. Tatra, alpa ayasanam karmanam sukha sambhadyanam alpa bhalatvam dushkaranam cha mahabhalatvam drishtam iti tadam tu sukha sambhadyatval phalakshayad vedi iti praptam ata aha avyayam iti.
Now here, one question comes. When Krishna says it's easily available, then you may ask the question, then what's the problem?
Isn't it? If it is so easily available, what's the problem? Problem is this. Our main problem is, we have developed this understanding, to get anything, I have to work hard. That is the problem. And if somebody tells you it is very simple, you can get it without effort, we won't believe it. Because we got so used to this concept that only by working hard I will get it. We bring that concept from material life into spiritual life, and then the problem remains. Is it not? We talked about this many times before. In material life, for everything you have to work. Karmam, karmam, karmam. Through karmam we acquire everything in this world. And we got so used to it that everything has to be acquired through karma. Krishna is saying, because that is the problem, that with the same mind we come to spiritual life also, and we start thinking, I have to work very hard, Prabhu, in my spiritual life. I have to do so much service I have to do, so much rounds I have to chant, so much harinams I have to do, and still I have not made it yet. I'm going to make it one day. It is this understanding that is the danger. That by doing I'm going to get it. No, you won't. It is not by doing you will get it. So our main problem is to get rid of this concept from inside, that it's by doing I'm going to get it. If you give up that concept, Krishna says it's very simple, but that concept won't go away easily from inside. No matter how much we talk about it, right deep down inside, we still have that understanding, I have to work very hard to get it. It is with that understanding we have come to spiritual life. And therefore he says here that question is, only by working hard you will get the results, is it not? We will ask the question. Only by working hard, because everything else in this world, you see that you are getting the results by working. The same concept we are bringing here. Tatra అల్ప ఆయాస ఆయాసానం కర్మణం సుఖ సంపాద్యానం అల్పఫలత్వం దుష్కరాణం చ మహాఫలత్వం దృష్టం ఇది తదంతు సుఖ సంపాద్యత్వాల్ ఫలక్షయాద్వేది ఇది ప్రాప్తం అత్ర ఆహ అవ్యయం ఇతి. సో అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ గెట్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఇఫ్ యూ అక్వైర్ వెరీ ఈజీలీ వితౌట్ మచ్ ఎఫర్ట్, విల్ ద రిజల్ట్ ఆల్సో ఓన్ గో లైక్ దాట్ వాట్ యూ గెట్ త్రూ దాట్ వే? That question will come, is it not? That question, suppose you have earned money, a lot of money, without hard work, through your good luck or through lottery or through, suppose you made 50 million pounds or 100 million pounds through lottery today. One of us gets it. By Krishna's grace, hope you don't get it. Suppose we got it, one of us got it. What will happen? You know what will happen? We will think the money has come very easily, without any effort, isn't it? Immediately, mind will go in sinful activities. It will turn into sinful life.
all these regulatory principles, 16 rounds and all, go through the window. It's finished there. It's, you won't see it anymore. That is the world. That is how it is. So this easy money creates this problem. Easy money. Without working properly, if you work hard and earn money, then you will know how painful it is that you have to put a lot of endeavor to earn the money. But when the money comes so easily like that, the thing is, the way it has come, the way it will go also. The same way it won't stay. It will not stay. That is what it is Krishna is saying here. That atraha, that bhalakshayad vyodi, acharyas have thought about all these things. They know us better than ourselves, what we are like. So he says, atatra alprayasanam karmanam sukasambhadhyanam alpa bhalatvam dushkaranam cha mahabhalatvam drishtam idi tadam tu sukha sambadhyatval bhalakshayad vedi idi praptam atha aha avyayam iti. That bhalam, what has come through that, so if you have that doubt, if that way, if it easily, this, like money comes easily, it will go easily in the same way it has come. Similarly, if this knowledge of the self, realization also, if it comes easily like that, will it go also in the same way? If that is your doubt, he says, commentary, na asya bhalataha karmavadveha asti idi avyayam atha shraddhayam almajnanam. That is the difference. Difference is this. Na asya bhalataha karmavadveha asti idi avyayam. When the results of karmam comes, and the results of that karmam, suppose you have done some karmam in this world, and you have got the karma bhalam, the result of your karmam, whatever you have acquired from that karmam, when the results are finished, your karmam is also over. Karmam is finished, karmam results are also over. Is it not? That's how normally the karmam is. Only thing is, it may have created some vasanas inside. But generally what we see in this world is, you have executed some karmam, the results of that karmam has come, and when the results are over, finished, the money what you have earned, or the whatever results has come from that karmam, when that results are finished, the karmam is over, and the results are over, it's gone. Both have gone. Karmam has gone, karma bhalam also has gone. But the knowledge of the self, Krishna is saying, is not like that. It will not go. It will not. These are fundamental differences between karmam, karmaphalam, and self-realization and the knowledge. Self-realization is like this. Once you have realized the self, the result cannot go. You can't lose it anymore. You can't lose it anymore. Ye punaha, not only that, that is the next verse Krishna is talking about. So, you can see that Rajavidya Rajaguhyam Pavitram Hidam Uttamam Pratyaksham Avagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartam Avyayam. Isn't it? So, here, Krishna mentions here that we will know very well that the body and the mind, he mentions there, that when we Krishna is saying, this knowledge of the self will make you realize this is more real than the body and the mind. How does that happen? For us, no matter somebody tells you, your body is not real, your mind is not real, you are not going to accept that, are you? Because you will say, oh, he is talking some nonsense, because he's telling me my body is not real, my mind is not real, it's not acceptable, isn't it? So, but the point, you have to understand it like this. Krishna says, with this knowledge, realization of the self, what will happen is, he will realize that the body and the mind is like the mirage. Like the mirage. Mirage means that you are looking from here far away in the desert, you see there is water. That's called mirage. When you go there, you find there is no water. It is only a reflection there. So you misunderstood. This body, you will realize at that time, when self-realization happens, that this body and the mind is also very much similar to that, that mirage. It has no real existence. It is going. It has come and it's going. And that's all how much it is. It's not a reality anymore. That is why, so what is real then? The vastu inside. That's the only thing that is real. And you will also know how to experience that vastu inside, the soul. How that experience, anubhavam, or experience of the soul will be known to him. And you will also know who is experiencing it. That understanding also will come. In other words, we will be situated within ourselves in our spiritual identity. That's what will happen. At that time, all other identification with the body has gone. Only when we realize the self, you will know that the body is a false thing. Up to that point, you won't know. But the moment you realize the self inside, immediately you'll come to know that the body is a illusion. It's an illusion. Body is an illusion. But till then, whatever you may say to others, they will not be able to understand this. Till you realize the self inside. So jnana achara vichara patalam, as it mentioned in the Shaiva Agamam, like we have Panjaratram and all, in the Lord Shiva's traditions, they also have traditions, Shaiva traditions, that they call the Shaiva Agamam. All the Nayanmars and all, they come in that tradition. There, Lord Shiva is instructing his son, Subramanyam, Kartikeya, about this. He instructs them about that. He says to him that there is nothing higher than waking up a person from inside. Waking up a person from inside. How do you wake up a person from inside? By making him realize what he is. That is what is called waking up a person from within. Till a person is woken up from inside, Shiva says to Subramanyam, he says to him, that is the only, what is that waking up means? Waking up means he realizes that the only reality in me is this awareness, what I have. My awareness, I exist, I am, I am, I am. That awareness is the only reality. Body is not a reality. Mind is not a reality. Intelligence is not a reality. Ego is not a reality. None of them are a reality. Only reality in me is this awareness. So, waking up that awareness inside, that is my identity, as spiritual identity. And in order to wake up that awareness, you don't require another awareness. Because by very nature itself, it's there, already there in every one of us. That awareness is there. But due to this screen put around that thing called the mind, body, intelligence, these are all the coverage around that awareness. And they have taken our attention away from the awareness to the body, mind and senses and all that. And therefore, we are stuck here. We are identifying with this body, mind, intelligence, that awareness we have lost. When the spiritual master points out to us that we are that awareness and not this body, and when we are woken up in that way, he says here that even if you have not understood anything else in the Shastram, that awareness alone will, once it is woken up, it will put you in the right situation, in the right place. So, you can see this, all the great realized souls, when they have written Kirtanam, their songs, what they have written after realization. Nowadays, people write a lot of songs. There are a lot of songwriters nowadays, isn't it? They write songs, but that's without any realization. And those who are realized, when they write songs, you will see when they are sung, people are enjoying that very much. Very simple songs they have written, like Tyagaraja's songs, Sadashiv Brahmendra and all. What they have written, people are still enjoying it, hearing that. It's not that they've understood all the meaning of the song, what is written in there. So, sometimes you will see big musicians, they'll be singing the songs, but they don't know the meaning of the song. They may not know, they can sing in nice tunes, in ragam, and in a nice melodious way, they can present them musically, the song to the public. But if you ask the person who is singing, whether he has realized that what is written in the song, he may not have realized it. Person who has realized, like Tyagaraj, who has realized it, He will know because it is from his realization he has written this song. That realization has come in the form of songs for him. All these great devotees, Jnaneshwar, Namadev, Tukaram, all famous singers, Narasimha, so many people like that, Jai Govind, Jayadev Goswami, all of them, whatever they have written, yes, has come through their realization came in the form of song. They didn't sit in one place and start thinking, let me start writing some poetry today. That's not how they wrote that. They all realized the self, realized the truth, and that realization came out in the form of songs. They sung after the realization, that's what it is. So when they are sung by others, for example, Gita Govindam, Jayadeva Goswami's famous Gita Govindam, it is well known, isn't it? Krishna's intimate relationships with Radharani's and 30 or 32 songs in that Ashtavadi, beginning with that first one is that Pralayabhayodhi Jale, that is the first Ashtavadi, Shridakamala Guja Mandalam, second one Chandana Charchida, third one, like that you will see a number of them, 28 or so I think there. So all of them, when you read through, you will notice the person who is singing, the meaning is very difficult to understand what all Jayadev Goswami has written there. But when Jayadev compiled them, he was experiencing that within. It is his realizations, that is. When he wrote them in Jagannath Puri, it is his realization that was coming out through that. So, when it comes out like that, the soul, those who are singing since then, that Ashtavadi is sung in all the temples, all over the country. Jayadev Goswami's Ashtavadi is sung, because they are so famous, Gita Govindam. But those who are singing, they are not realizing it, like the way Jayadev Goswami has realized it, is it not? So that is the thing, that the bhavam, or that experience of that, but still people enjoy that. You may not have that experience like Jayadev Goswami had, but while hearing that, it does create some bhavam inside of a person. And so similarly, Krishna is saying here, this knowledge of the self also, keep hearing, he says. Krishna says, keep hearing and keep on tasting it. Enjoy it. Keep listening and enjoy it. And little by little, let it get in. That's the way Krishna puts it. Little by little, let this get inside. And once it gets inside, that he says here, if it goes inside in that way, you can see here, all other topics in the world, all other topics in the world, they become an obstacle for advancing in this line. In this line. Krishna says, all other subjects, if you want to understand, like, for example, if you want to study any other topic, say literature, English literature, or history, or any other topic, you have a process to study that, isn't it? That process is that, what is that process? You invest all your time, mind, intelligence, everything, and you study that, is it not? And then you will get it, you will get it. Don't use that process here, that's what Krishna is saying. Don't bring that process into this. Here, listening. Shravanam is the only process that will work here. Keep the mind and intelligence away and simply hear. That is the process. That's why Krishna is saying here that little by little, if you allow yourself, and Krishna told us before what is required for this knowledge to go in, freedom from the false ego, ahankara chayam. When ahankaram is taken away inside, and if you give oral reception to what Krishna is going to talk about it in the coming verses in this chapter, Krishna says, so long as you don't follow the same process what you have used for studying other subjects in this world, and if you remain in that state and listen to this, it will have its effect. It will have its effect. So first you have to leave that process, what we have followed with all other subjects. Because other subjects we have studied like that, isn't it? any subject in this world, that is how we have studied. We have studied something, we have invested a lot of energy to study so much garbage
here.
We have invested so much time and energy. We have invested so much time and energy to study so much garbage. Krishna is saying, don't bring that process into this. So, another point what Krishna wants to make in this, what you have to understand from that is, pratyaksham avagamam dharmyam susukham kartum avyayam. In other words, suppose thousands people are listening to this. Thousand people are listening to this Bhagavad Gita. If even one person has escaped from here, even one person has escaped from here or realized the truth, he will escape, and that is good enough, Krishna says. He's not guaranteeing that all thousand will escape. Out of thousands, Krishna says, one may escape, and still it is worthwhile. Even then, it's worthwhile. Whereas in the university, what is it like? If you don't get A, you get a B or a C or a D, but still you can go your past, isn't it? Here, that's not working. That's not acceptable here. Here, either you are this side or you're out. That's all. But Krishna's point is, if say 1,000 people are taken to this process, one may escape from this city because there are many other factors involved in this. That is why Krishna says, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhaye yadadam abhi siddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvada. That's the words later in the 10th chapter. Out of thousands of men looking for perfection, hardly few will come to know, and among them one will attain perfection in truth. That is the reality. In that sense Krishna is saying here that pratyakshavagamam. Aksham means sense. Pratyaksham. So for example, eyes is a sense. Eyes are a sense, isn't it? So this is called aksham. Eyes are called aksham. So with these eyes, we see the objects. And what's the problem now? When you see something with the eye, you think that is reality, isn't it? Eyes cheat us like that. Something as a reality. Whatever, because its conditioning is like that, whatever you have seen with the eyes, you take that as the reality. Krishna is saying, even more real than that, what you see with your eyes and what you are accepting as reality, even more real than that is this knowledge. That is what that word is used. Pratyaksham avagamam dharmyam, he says. Pratyaksham avagamam dharmyam. Three words there. Pratyaksham avagamam dharmyam. So it is that clearer than what you see with your eyes. When you experience this knowledge. Because when you see something with the eye, who makes the decision that it is real or not real? The mind inside, is it not? The mind says, you register in the mind, something is real, something is not real. Is it not? The mind is registering that. Now, that is through the eyes and the mind. But here, it is much more subtle than that. Why? Because when self-realization happens, immediately you come to know whatever you are seeing through the eyes and the mind is all false. That's what will happen. Every knowledge what you have got through spiritual life is all subtle science, isn't it? More we become subtle, more we accept that Krishna's explanation of that subtlety in us. The more we become realized, the truth, the self is the only reality. Everything else is false and temporary and meant to get destroyed one day. What the eyes have perceived and reported back to the mind as the reality is not a reality anymore once the realization of the self happens. That's why that word used, Krishna is saying there, comparing with the eye, he says, pratyaksham avagamam. It is. It's much more reality to us than what you have experienced with your eye, the knowledge of the self. Pratyaksham, avagamam, dharmyam. And Krishna says here that so deeper level than that. In other words, you can realize it aparoksham. Aparoksham. Aparoksham means even without any doubt anymore. That is what it means. Without any more any doubt. What you have seen with the eyes, you may doubt tomorrow something. Sometimes it happens, isn't it? I think I have seen it, you say, sometimes. But you're not sure. That is how much the doubt we have about our own eyes, we doubt sometimes. Or certain things, what you have seen, then you start thinking, have I seen it correctly or not? All doubts comes, is it not? So why is the doubts? Because the eyes have seen it and the mind has accepted that. So Krishna's point is here that this is anupedam, anupedam. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukham. This realization, Krishna is saying here, is aparoksham. Aparoksham means that and much more clearer than what you have seen through your eyes and experienced through the mind, clearer than that, you will experience this inside, this knowledge of the self. And it will be so clear to you at that time what the self means. What does self means? So, in other words, once you have realized it, if you decide, I want to do things in my own way, I want to live my life in my own way, it won't be possible. It won't be possible. Why? The knowledge has come, realized inside. Once that realization happens, you see, now in our state presently, in the present state, when we have not realized the truth, we have the choice, is it not? I can live the way I want to live. If I have money, I can live very opulent. If I have no money, I can live in that way also, in a poverty conditions. Or I have the options, what I want to eat, what I want, when I want to sleep, when I want to have recreation, all these things, that's a way of life. I can live my life the way I want to live now. Krishna's point is, when this realization happens, you won't be able to live the way you want to live. Rather, you will be driven by that knowledge so strongly, that will be your life then. That's the difference. Everything changes with self-realization. Everything changes. That is why the word Krishna has used, susukham kartum avyayam, he says. Susukham. Because now we don't like anybody imposing anything on us, isn't it? We don't like it when somebody tells us that you should live in a particular way, you should dress up in a particular way, you should travel in a particular way, you should live in a particular area. Or many things in this life now, people don't like it being told that any particular way. They don't like it because we wanted our choice. We say we need the choice. But Krishna is saying, after this self-realization, there will be no more choice there. The knowledge will dictate everything, according to the knowledge, everything. Because you have realized the truth, that's what will happen. That's why Krishna is saying, but because that realization is so good, it is extremely joyful and blissful, Krishna is saying, that existence. Susukham, the word Krishna is using there, because at that time you are in bliss. You are in bliss. You are not identifying with the body, so therefore all these bodily considerations doesn't exist anymore. Purely spiritual platform you're operating, and that will be driven by that realization within. That's what Krishna is mentioning there. So, so once you reach that state, Krishna says here, whatever the order in the material nature, that will become our order. That means material nature has a certain order here, is it not? The nature has an order. We don't follow that. That's another thing. We don't follow that. But in a realized state, your lifestyle will be such, you'll be living in such a way, it will be all in union with the nature. In union with the nature. You know what I'm saying, don't you? That normally in our life, when we don't, we do what suits us now. Is it not? We all do what suits us now. Very little consideration for the nature. Nature dictates so many things to us. Who follows that? Nobody is following anymore. Nobody follows the nature anymore. Because ultimately, due to identification with the body, for the protection of the body, mind and all that, we've developed a certain pattern of lifestyle. So because of that, our life is not in agreement with the nature in many ways. It's not in agreement with the nature. The cars we drive, the aeroplanes we fly, the way we grow the food, the way we kill the animals, the way we manufacture alcohol and drinking that, the way we conduct our social life, everything is against the nature. Nothing is approved by the nature. Totally against that. We do what we like, basically. That mentality. That's our lifestyle now. Krishna is saying, when one realizes a self, anything what he does in this creation will be totally approved by the nature. It won't be against the nature. Everything will be approved by the nature. In other words, nature has a perfect order here. It is, sun rises in the morning, sun sets in the evening, moon rises in the night, sets in the morning, and seasons are changing, and nature is providing us different things for our survival in this world. Sun is providing the light, moon is providing the moonshine, the plants and the trees. Everything in the nature all works according to a particular pattern, a system. The person in the self-realized state, he does not go against anything what the nature has put into this world. His life is such that nature is very pleased by his life in this world. Nature gets pleased by his living in this world because he doesn't create any unbalance in the system. We make everything unbalanced, is it not? We go and drill oil in the North Sea, and then we need to get the gas from Siberia, and then we have to... So many things we are doing here. Do we consult with nature when we do anything? We don't, do we? And so many things we do now, things like this, that we create all this to satisfy our ego. We have to do so many things. We have to go to the moon planet, and then say, no, moon planet is not good enough. We have to go to the Mars. And then start booking now itself. You have money to pay for your so-called excursion to the heavenly planets, all these planets. Is this all approved by the nature? No, nature is not. Do we consult the nature? No, we don't think. All the big leaders, they think that it's okay to do this. Keep the economy going, isn't it? That's the most important thing. So this misunderstanding is in us, everybody, the population as well as the leaders as well, all same, not different. So because it's like that, Krishna is saying that this susukham, the word Krishna is using there, that after self-realization, whatever that person does in this world, if you observe clearly, you will see that all his movements, activities in this world, is in complete agreement with the nature. That's the beauty of that. So we'll discuss it next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.